The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman & Hagman Report for today, Monday, December 10th, 2012. I'm Doug Hagman, the host of the Hagman & Hagman Report with my son, Joe Hagman. Folks, you're about to hear 3 hours of unbiased and uncensored news, analysis, information you need to know in these perilous times. We broadcast live each and every weeknight from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find us on the Internet at HomelandSecurityUS.com. And you can also watch us as well as we're simulcast in high-def video on the Christians United Broadcasting Network. We want to thank you for joining us, and I want to thank both Joe and I want to thank each and every one of you for your belief and trust in us as we walk through this minefield of current events together. And I'll tell you, it's a minefield indeed. And as you know, folks, we're a listener-supported broadcast, and we want to thank everyone who has helped us stay on the air through your financial support. We want to thank everyone who has helped us stay on the air and grow through your prayers and through your passing along word about this program. Joe, good to see you today in studio.
Yeah, had a nice weekend. Don't know what you did this weekend, but mine was nice. Had some car problems, got some laundry done.
Laundry, car problems.
And got no computer. Except the desktop in the back room, so it's hard. It's like a new world.
Yeah,
found myself reading books more, taking a walk. It's different though, but it's nice.
Computer problems plague Joe at this time. Hopefully, he'll be back up with email and everything here in the next week or so. I'm sure you will.
Yeah,
I'm sure you will.
Actually, I want to say, got the computer at Best Buy, took it up there, and they've been emailing me every step of the way when it's received, that it's been working on, and I'm sure I'll get one when it's done and when it's shipping out. So that's nice to see.
That's very
still
good.
Some customer service here in the United States. A lot going on this week. We have special announcements, a couple of special announcements for shows this week.
Buckle up.
Yeah.
Giddy up.
Wednesday, we will be joined by Pastor Lindsey Williams. He'll be joining us at 8 o'clock.
About 8:10. I sent him an email. He's got a radio show up until 8 o'clock Eastern, I believe. So what we'll do is we'll bring him on about 8:10, and then he'll stay as long as he feels comfortable and as long as we can get the information from him with what people are telling him about what's going on.
Yeah, I really want to talk to him about the QE3 and the mortgage, what they're doing with that money, as that's very important. Also, Thursday.
And we're about 90% sure on this. I talked to Steve Quayle earlier today.
Yeah, we're going to have Steve Quayle and Russ Dizdar on the show. Like he said, we're just waiting for a confirmation. It's been set up and just making sure everybody is clear for takeoff. And
that will be from 9 until midnight Eastern time. And folks, if you don't know who Russ Dizdar is, that's D-I-Z-D-A-R. I got to tell you, this man is an incredible, incredible guy, a bio like you can't believe. And he has a new book, I believe it's co-authored with Sue Bradley, called Black Awakening. And it's The book is 600 and some odd pages. I think there's a DVD and the workbook, and it's about the satanic infusion into these. Well, you know what? I'm just going to wait until Thursday, because let him explain it. It makes perfect sense, and it's something else.
Looking forward to that very much. Also, Pastor Williams, looking forward to that interview as well. Tonight, we got a lot of news. We're going to get into Syria, this situation in Syria. We are seeing chemical weapon articles saying that the Assad regime and military are putting together chemical weapons to be used on their own citizens.
Yep.
At the same time, we have reports here that Patriot missiles in Turkey are going to be set up to tighten the rebel grip on the Syrian north. These missiles will be placed in Turkey for the no-fly zone, making it easier for the rebels, or al-Qaeda, to consolidate their forces and even establish their own government. This according to Yazan Abadallah. He shared information with Russia Today that the jihadist groups inside Syria might use chemical weapons to conduct ethnic cleansing against certain sectarian groups.
Let me tell you something. The situation in Syria, we're going to be discussing this at length tonight, because what we're seeing, the fuse for World War III has been lit. We said this before. People mocked us. They laughed at us. They said you're being hype. You know, it's a bunch of hype. It's hyperbole. All kinds of crazy, ignorant theories about what was going on in Libya. I'm sorry. Now we are unfortunately we're being proven correct. But before we get into that, and I've got much to say about that. Some new developments as of 12 hours ago, and I've got much to say about that. But before we do, just want to touch, folks. I'd like you to just consider a few things right now. You know, we're living through a very dangerous period, and most of us, I'm sure, would agree that the two gravest external and internal threats we have as a country, as a nation right now, at this moment in time in history, is the Islamic threat and the communist threat. The communist threat is actually the New World Order, One World Governance threat, using the communist conspiracy to get there. Okay? Now, that's an important distinction you have to understand very carefully.
And I have a problem, you know, saying it's communist, because it is mainly communist tactics. There is a combination of other, I mean, it's not just this communism movement. This is a globalist, a neocon, all these rogue extremist factions that make up the governments, their systems. You know, it includes Nazi tactics. It includes communist tactics.
They are brothers in arms. When you talk about communism, you're talking about fascism. You're talking about socialism. You're talking about all of those. People have a tendency to think, well, fascism is far right. No, it's not. Fascism is a cousin to communism, is a cousin to socialism. I mean, we could break this down and continue through this, but communism, and if you go back into the early part of the 20th century, centralization is the key, folks, to bring down the United States of America, which has been the objective of many people, of many globalist leaders. And we've had globalist leaders back into the 19th century, the 20th century, but they're using communism as a tool. And McCarthy pointed out the infiltration of communists into the State Department. And he was correct. He was 100% correct. And that communist infiltration has extended through the present day. And what's taking place, folks, is the communists, and many are useful dupes, as Lenin would call them, but we'll get into that in a second here, but But what is taking place is communism, in order to destroy the sovereignty of the United States, in order to destroy our identity, our country. There are several things, numerous things that have to be done. You've got to destroy our morality. You've got to destroy. You've got to infiltrate our schools, our media.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think has been happening?
The family. Christianity.
You don't reinforce marriage. You redefine it. You don't. It's not murder when you take the life of an unborn child. It's birth control. But see, what happens is this: communism espouses those very principles from 1958. The communist goals that were read into the congressional record in 1963 outlines the plan. They had the plan published. We knew about this, but did nothing. But yet mock people like Joe McCarthy, who attempted to save this country from itself. Yet McCarthy was vilified. But today, through the disclosures of the Nona and other various declassification papers back in the 90s, we know that there was this communist agenda afoot, and it's still there. And it's there through Obama. But look, there are two threats, the Muslim threat and the communist threat, working hand in hand to destroy this country, to soften it in order to bring it under one world government. The Islamic threat is needed because we need that enemy. But that enemy also has some significant parts to it. It attacks the religion. It uses our own laws against us, our own religious freedom against us in order to take us down. Both have stated, communists and Muslims, both have stated over and over and over and over again that they wish to control the world. And think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Think about this. Obama was raised in a Muslim culture. He went to Muslim schools and had parents who were Marxists and Muslims. Almost every friend and every mentor he had in his entire life has a Muslim or a Marxist background. Folks, that's who we elected in 2008. That's who we elected. He's a perfect Manchurian candidate. Look, Obama never had been in mainland America until he was an adult. Never, not once. He was completely unfamiliar with our heritage and our culture. We're all known by the company we keep. And Barack Obama consistently and deliberately and consistently keeps company with hard leftists, the hardest of hard leftists.
Now, the term communism will definitely apply there.
You've got to understand what's
communist,
going on here.
You have the czars that he
of
has.
Of course.
I mean, these are extremists in every field that they are in control over, whether it's science and technology, foreign policy, monetary policy. These guys know what they're doing. This is a destroy through the inside. They are taking the country apart piece by piece from the inside out through using executive order, anything that they can do to subvert Congress, or even when Congress is willing to pass illegal legislation.
Congress has been compromised. As I mentioned before, the decades of infiltration has hit our Congress right now. Congress has been neutered. Look at John Bonnier. Look at this. Look at this guy. Look at Bonnier. Look at but also look at the members of the Communist Party USA. look at who are members of Congress. We elected these people.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
but you know, you can argue that same false choice that we see in presidents, we see in Congress. It was
set up this way.
Right.
You're right. You're exact. See, and you bring on a good point. We were not given any other choice. You talk about the progressives on the left. Look, they are the progressives. As far as I'm concerned, that's a flowery term for socialists or communists. So we'll say socialists. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Communist is the first objective, and the global order, new world order, is the second objective. But socialists, we'll just call them, instead of progressives, they're socialists at the very least, communists at heart, and going for the one world order. But look, we could not have chosen a much more of a Manchurian candidate. Obama, he's a Manchurian candidate, and we couldn't have gotten a better one if we were auditioning for the role in the movies. This is just so bizarre. Most Americans cannot process what we're talking about. You, as our audience, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to process this. You've got to understand this. And not only understand it, talk to people about this before. I mean, it could already be too late. Is it too late? If there's, my theory is this, and I know Joe is with me. Look, as long as there's breath, as long as there's life, there's hope. We know in the Bible how the story ends. We know, but you know what? But we know there's a lot of trials and tribulations and turmoil between now and then. But we need to talk with people. We need, at this point, we need to keep hope. We need to play our position. We need to educate others. We need to be the leaders. We need to take up and say, you know what? We are going to be the people that are going to save this country or die trying. We are the people who are going to spread the word of God or die trying. We are the people who are going to stand up and avenge the blood of 3,000 aborted babies every day or die trying. We are going to make our Father proud of us. We are going to play the position that we were appointed, anointed to play. God put you right now at the spot you're in at this point in history. You're alive right now for a reason. Don't squander your time, your energy, your efforts. Understand, you're alive today for one reason. Find what that reason is. Be the leader that you're meant to be. But look, think about this. Let's put this in context where we're at right now. Remember World War II? It was in all the papers. It was in all the history books. What if during World War II, we had a president or a presidential candidate? Don't forget, those challenged, public school challenged. Are we off the air? I keep hearing these odd noises here.
I heard it too. No, it doesn't seem like we're off.
All right. Think about this. World War II. You know we were fighting the Germans in Japan. What if one of our presidential candidates during the war had been raised and schooled in Japan and his parents had been lifelong Nazis, along with most of his teachers, his friends, and advisors? Do you think Americans at that time would have been concerned? You know what? I don't think that's too much of a stretch for what we're seeing today. Look, many times, people don't see things for what they really are. The government, there's a small percentage in any country. There's a percentage in any country that are communists. In our country, too, obviously, we've got communists in our country. But they seem to be, the most communists seem to be passive in nature, but there's a group of communists the Obamas, who are now in power, who have the power, they are using others as their dupes, their useful idiots, that's Stalin's terms, to do their bidding. 50 years of takeover in this country is what we're seeing right now. You know, how did this happen? Well, most people are just minding their own business, going to work, taking care of the kids, going to school, going to church, volunteering at the PTA, taking kids to soccer. You know what I mean? They're not driven by some external goal. And they assume that everyone else is doing the same thing. I mean, you look at your neighbor doing the same thing. We've accepted the ridiculous adage that it's not polite to discuss politics and religion. Somehow that creeped into our I don't know, culture. But you know, when it comes right down to it, tell me, what two topics could possibly be more important to discuss than religion and politics? The very people who are dedicated to the cause of turning America into a socialist state are driven to accomplish their goal. And they're driven to accomplish their goal through religion and politics. They're willing to sacrifice so much to destroy their own country. It's so hard to explain, and people hardly can accept it. But there are a few dedicated individuals that can control a large group because they are united by a common goal and are willing to work hard to accomplish it. Think about this, okay? Just think about this. This is a real simple example. But, you know, you wonder how things happen. Think about this. You join a club, and we'll say that your club's got, I don't know, 200 members. And the chairman is trying to get somebody to volunteer to take on the job of lining up all of the monthly guest speakers for the next year. Making all those calls and arrangements, you know, it seems like it's a time-consuming task, right? I mean, shoot. Not too many people really want to do it, but suddenly Joe over here, my co-host, he raises his hand. He says, I'll do it. All right. So what happens? Joe, hey, man, thanks, buddy. Everyone's appreciative. Joe's going to make a sacrifice. He's going to take the time and effort to do it. And, you know, as the year goes by, he brings speakers in. But isn't this something? Because few realize that every speaker that he brings in to talk on their monthly meetings, they're all from the same leftist, communist, progressive point of view. 99 out of 100 or 199 out of 200, they're getting influenced or brainwashed by the efforts of just one person in their group. So think about it. Let's say you had a group of 100, just as I'll bring in the speakers, monthly speakers, he brings in all these communists. One person out of 100, Joe, greatly influenced the entire group. Isn't that what's happening today? In that proportion, perhaps? But see, here's the answer. You can be one of the 100 that brings in the others. You can be one of the 100 that brings in, that goes against those communist, self-inflicted, taking our country down idiots out there, the seditious, treasonous people that are trying, I was going to use a word there, I'm glad I didn't, that are trying to take our country down. You can be the person that speaks out against the abortion, that speaks out against the wars, and that speaks out against all of this. You can influence the other 99 in your group. Just do it. You don't need a group of 100. You just need a group of 2 or 3 and the butterfly effect. Or you don't know what happens when you influence that one person, influences another. We can take back this country. We can do it. But see, if you magnify that potential and apply it to every walk of life, you can see that potential. But it's just so important, folks, to understand, and I'm going to close with this. It's really important to understand how we got here, because how we got here, if you understand who is behind this and what their objectives are, we can stop it. or at least slow it down. Maybe we can't stop it, okay? If we talk in prophecy, prophecy is going to happen. But at least in the record book of life, when you stand before, kneel before, lie before that judgment throne, you can answer to God and you can say, look, this is what I did. But you can be a leader in your own community. Do it. Do it. But by all means, and we will be getting into this in shows, you've got to understand how we got here, because some of the very same people that brought us here back in the 20th century, the Kissingers, the Brzezinskis, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, these people are responsible for the deaths of tens and hundreds of thousands, in my opinion.
Depends on how far back you go.
Right. In my opinion. Folks, we are going to understand how we got here so we can fight, and we can fight, and we know the playbook, we know the plays. And I just want to open with that, and I just want to say God bless every one of you who are investing your time to listen tonight, because at the end of the program, we hope, and I know, that you're going to leave the program with a lot more information than when you came, information that can be used. And when you see what's taking place in Syria, which is the theme of our program, and Joe set it up very nicely, and he's done so much research. I just can't tell you how much research he did. I just want to tell you this, what's going on in Syria right now. We told you this was going to happen, and it's happening, and there is no walking it back. That's so important for you to understand.
We'll probably go through and cut and paste different audio clips from the last year and probably make a broadcast that would be relevant today, meaning you would think it came out today the way it's not because we were special or we were given, you know, secret information.
Well, you know, in a way we were.
We've been given information on situations like Benghazi and the Homeland Security thing was different. But when it comes to the whole Arab Spring, the real reasons behind the regime changes, the central bank, the central banking, they have their foot in this big time. They have these secular governments being overthrown in the name of democracy and for the humanitarian rights, they say. Now they're implementing leaders that are openly massacring people, but yet nothing. We hear nothing. There's no calls from Obama, to get the people in power out of Libya who are murdering Christians and civilians every day. They sit here and constantly barrage your TV and news stations with reports that Assad's army is massacring citizens and massacring, the fighters and children, because he's fighting the civil war, when the only thing he's really doing is protecting his country and his civilian population from the proxy Western invasion of al-Qaeda fighters, or John McCain would say freedom fighters, and the United States is transporting weapons from Libya, from Egypt to Libya, through Turkey, into Syria, along with the personnel, along with our tax dollars, to make sure Assad's gone. And it couldn't happen in, 16 months? So now they're pulling out all the stops. They're going to initiate a false flag chemical attack on the population, and the whole time blame it on Assad, when we already have proof that it's al-Qaeda who has control of the chemical weapons.
Okay, and I want to make this clear. When we say al-Qaeda, let's just use, because this could confuse people, and people could say, it's not really al-Qaeda. All right, there's al-Qaeda in northern Africa, AQIM. There's Ansar al-Sharia, which is connected to al-Qaeda, essentially. These are all Islamic terrorist organizations.
How about al-Nashara? A-L Nusrah.
Okay.
Al Nusra.
Well, all right. You've got this
foreign jihadists.
Okay. You've got this mix of groups, but let me.
It's linked to Al Qaeda. I want to. This is for a reason.
All right.
It's a jihadist group. That's one of the rebel factions fighting Assad in Syria, allied with Al Qaeda and other jihadist groups. They are took control of the last major Syrian army base in western Aleppo. After a two-month-long siege, the base is believed to be involved in a chemical weapons program.
Right.
So now it is under control.
It's under the control.
The al-Nashari, the people, the front group for al-Qaeda.
Right. Okay.
A front group for al-Qaeda.
But let me just step back for a second here, folks, and please listen carefully to the following statement. I ask you to please listen carefully to this statement. What's taking place in Syria is designed to take out the United States of America. Think about that for a second. What is taking place in Syria, well, it will have the end result of taking out militarily and economically the United States of America. Some by design, some by accident, some by stupidity, some by, it doesn't matter. But that's the end result. Please understand that.
I was reading something, and you talk about by design. What if it's by God's design that the United States of America is taken out? The current day America has become a nation of just,
there is no doubt that that's
just
there's no doubt
pit of darkness. Okay,
we have enjoyed the veil of protection by God, because we were a moral country, a country of laws, a country of morality, of spirituality. But now we are a pagan society who worships the blood sacrifice of innocence. That's involved in multitudes that would make the money changers in the temple green with envy. That's what America has become. And of course, that veil of protection by God has been removed. So you bring up a great point, Joe.
Well, the end times prophecies, the things that happen are being allowed to happen and are ordained by God. To take care in the fulfillment of the prophecy, the prophecies, where there will be the one world government that will, you know, completely implement the mark of the beast. And it is part of the prophecy. It's going to happen. And I do not see, what's going on now with the proxy wars, our increased level of involvement on all fronts, the enemies we have made through Russia and China, the dollar, the weakening of the dollar, the police state being set up to the point where everything is in place.
Unless Dizdar is going to talk about that. On Thursday, by the way. So.
Everything can come down. We are looking at the tribulation. I mean, we're looking at tribulations ahead. The Great Tribulation will be coming sometime. With this tribulation, or will we go through tribulations before we see the Great Tribulation? And when I say go through tribulations, I mean major world-changing events, not just, you know.
Well, okay, let's talk about tribulation with a small t in this case, not the tribulation, but we're in for tribulation. But what you said, though, Joe, and I just want to expand on this. Look, why this is so important, Benghazi is a window to what's taking place in Syria. It was a warning. It was a checkpoint in time. That's why it's so important. That's why no one wants to touch Benghazi. Not one of these sniveling, driveling politicians, elected leaders, whether it's on the right or on the left or in the middle, wants to admit what went down in Benghazi. And folks, there are so many things out there, so many people out there saying, well, it was an attempted kidnapping of Stevens because to make the bomb look. It was not an attempted kidnapping of Stevens. Okay? There are people out there floating specific messages in order to get people who are looking at this off track. Benghazi happened, gave us an opportunity to expose the entire One World, New World Order plan that's in place. Syria is part of this. And you know, at the end of the day, guess who's behind all of this as well? Yeah, it's the international bankers. It's Britain. It's France. They want to rule the world. Okay, and I know how crazy this sounds. I know how crazy this sounds. But they want America out of the picture. Because their goal, Britain's goal, is to make sure the sun never again sets on the British Empire. But then you say, but wait, they're friends, they're allies. Well, yes, they are. But the globalists in charge, the international bankers in charge, have other plans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's all part of it. But folks, listen, it's so important for you to understand this, because what is going to happen next? The things that are going to happen next will define our future, our immediate future. And I've got to tell you this, we are in so much trouble. The storm that is coming, the chaos that is coming to this country is going to be unlike anything ever seen before, and you have to be ready for it. We want you to be ready for it. Mentally and spiritually, because anyone can grab, go on Blog Talk Radio, you know, pay a couple hundred bucks or whatever it is to go to talk, and rattle off news headlines. Anyone can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to do a little bit more. We want you to be spiritually prepared and informed and well armed and well informed, and to take this information and help others. Be the key person and help others. But I'll tell you one thing. What's going to happen in the next 6 months, maybe a year, next 6 months for sure. I mean, I'm really thinking the next 6 months. You're going to see a devastating economy in the United States. Our economy will be devastated.
Yeah.
Our military has been devastated, will be further devastated. Folks, two things, and I'm going to turn it back over to you. I just want to let you know, in the last 12 hours, and this is important, a couple of things that have made the news, or maybe made the news, I don't know. I'm not sure if this has made the news or not, but Russia has deployed Iskander missiles, into Syria. What are Iskander missiles? Let me spell it for you. Iskander. That's Iskander. They're Iskander missiles that have been deployed. They are capable of carrying a nuclear payload. They are capable of carrying a payload of 1,500 pounds. They've got a range. Fully loaded at 280 miles. A smaller payload, as in perhaps a nuclear payload, 350 miles. These are, wait a minute, what's that, Joe? Patriot, what about the Patriot missiles in Turkey? The Patriot deployment? No. These will be no match for the Patriot missiles. To give you an example, Patriot missiles is a knife. The Iskander missile is an assault weapon. Which one would you rather have on your side? And also, the Iranians have the sunburn missiles, cruise missiles. You know what they'll do? You know what these will do? And do not for 1 minute believe, again, the talking head drivel out there about these missiles, about the sunburn missiles. You want to lose 8,000 guys and a whole bunch of planes? Sunburn missile could take out an aircraft carrier.
Well, maybe the globalists do. I mean, they consider the military pretty much but they consider us just a useful feature. They are a means to an end, and they don't care how many soldiers they have to kill or are killed for their purposes to be carried out. It is like a bunch of sociopaths. It is a bunch of sociopaths. It's worse. It's a bunch of Satanists running this nation. And we are not only the nation, the world, and they're setting the agendas. They are, these things are in motion because of them. And I want to just read through some of the propaganda from today about the Syria.
Yeah, this is important, folks. Go ahead and do this.
Actually, I'm going to do this. Let's play a clip here.
All right.
This is from, I think it uploaded here, if I have it.
Al-Qaeda is Syria. Al-Qaeda was created by this. Look, we know Islam is a cult by definition, okay? It's not a religion. It's a political cult, a political and social cult by definition, okay? I'm not being racist or bigoted or anything like that, but if you study, and it's admitted too by a lot of the scholars on Islam. Now, that said, Americans knew what influence they could exert over these Muslim jihadists, and they used the CIA to grab Al-Qaeda, to create Al-Qaeda, and to use it, Al-Qaeda, the group, in all of their various factions to do our bidding. So thank you in the chat room for I just saw it flash by, for putting that up. So it is. So, Joe, go ahead. Thank you. Go ahead.
Just a quick note. Also, today we have a 7.2 earthquake in Indonesia. Something to watch out for. Also, we have an asteroid coming close tomorrow, very close. I think it's 0.04 lunar distances. It is 0.2 lunar distances closer than the one coming in February of 2013. And maybe for people who know about these things, there is a condition code associated with these asteroids. Now, the asteroid that people are saying was possibly going to give us the most trouble, DA-14.
That's a smaller one, or the closest one?
2002 DA-14 coming in February has a condition code of 4. Now, the condition code goes from 0 to 9, 9 being the worst, 0 being the least. So this one is a 4.
That's one in February.
Correct.
All right.
Now, the one tomorrow is, okay, that one in February is 0.09 lunar distances away from Earth.
Okay, so tomorrow. Wait a minute. February 0.09, yeah. Wait.
9 tenths of from 0.9. Earth to the moon.
Okay.
Tomorrow it's going to be 0.6.
Closer.
Exactly. It's going to be closer. This one has a condition code of 7, okay? Now, there's one tomorrow also, which is going to be 4.2 lunar distances away. Like 10 or 20 times further than the one
right.
I just read.
Right.
This has a condition code of 8.
So the
one that's
going to
be 20 times further away than the one, I mean, there's two tomorrow, or the 11th, yeah, two tomorrow.
Right.
One's going to be 20 times further than the one that's really close. The one that's really close has a 6 or a 7. The one that's farther away has an 8. Now, somebody can explain why that has a higher risk rating than the one that will be 20 times closer, because I do not understand. But that's something that caught my eye.
Well, in the larger sense.
Keep your eyes open, because you never know what could happen.
Well, in the larger sense, look, signs in the sky and signs on Earth. The earthquake in Indonesia. Now you've got a bevy of comets,
yeah,
or asteroids, I should say.
There's actually an article or report today talking about the increase of comets in the year 2013, how comets are smashing into the sun at an unprecedented rate through the rings of Saturn. We see this comet is coming so close tomorrow. They just found it today. It's continuing to be more rapid.
Kind of like an Earth surprise party for Earth. Surprise.
Yeah, it's very, very odd. Back to Syria here. This is from France 24. Syria warns rebels may use chemical weapons. Syria warned on Saturday that rebels could use chemical weapons in their fight against President Assad and its forces, and insisted that the regime will never unleash such arms on its own people. British Foreign Secretary William Hague, however, said there is evidence that the Damascus government could actually employ chemical weapon stocks in the conflict, which a rights group says has killed at least 42,000 people in nearly 21 months.
That 42,000, folks, is going to look like nothing in the end. By the way, another bit of information. I don't know if this has made the news, but Syrian President Assad is being called to Moscow, I guess within the next day or so, for some talks and some advisement by Moscow, by Russia. So Russia is not only doubling down, but tripling down in Syria.
And so is the mainstream news here in America, with even Fox News getting on board. I guess it didn't take the upload. I had a 7-minute clip of Megyn Kelly describing how Assad has been committing genocide and is going to use the chemical weapons. Who said this? Megyn Kelly. Okay, I didn't get a chance to upload it. And on Fox News right now, they also have the article about the Syrian rebels capturing parts of the army base in the north, where we talked about where there was believed to be chemical weapons. Okay?
Well, we do know that WMDs were ferreted from Iraq. Now, I understand, okay, Colin Powell, when he got up to the United Nations, that was a whole bunch of hooey, but that said, Iraq did have chemical weapons at one time, but they were taken up to Syria. It had really nothing to do with the Iraq war, and it was a lame, poor, wrong excuse for the Iraq war. It was propaganda. But nonetheless, I mentioned that only to say that, yes, Syria has stockpiles of chemical weapons, but they all do. All these countries
and
do.
And listen to this. This article from Fox News does not mention the possibility of chemical weapons being at this army base taken over by the rebels. They are, and every other news agency in this country, are going by the same script. They are blaming Assad no matter what. True danger from Syria. Chemical weapons is if militants acquire them. That's from Russia. And there is no confirmed reports of chemical weapons, according to the UN chief, being used. Now, the United Kingdom claims to have evidence that Assad is going to use chemical weapons on his civilians.
How can you have evidence that Assad is going to use?
The UK has joined the U.S. in claiming Syria's government may soon use chemical weapons on its own people.
All right, that's a little different than having evidence.
The Syrian government has warned of the potential danger of these weapons falling into the hands of terrorists.
Of course.
Right.
But folks, this is going to happen. Trust me when I tell you this. This is going to happen.
So let's pray that it does not happen. Chemical weapons are used on the citizens. Who wants to place a wager that every U.S. outlet will blame Assad?
100% they will blame Assad.
Right. Even though, if they do it, I mean, you'll see before any proof or videos or anything could be substantiated except them knowing that weapons were released, they will be blaming Assad. Kind of like they did Osama bin Laden with 9/11. His name was mentioned, instantly. But in this article, it's just so interesting to see how they say they have evidence to say Assad may use chemical weapons against his own people, but really the article says, well, they're worried about the al-Qaeda factions taking it and using it against them. Is that Assad using the chemical weapons by having the Western-backed forces invade his country, start a civil war, take over army bases? And, I mean, that would be like us invading Mexico and taking a Mexican nuclear bomb, using it on Mexicans, and saying Mexico did it. And people saying, okay. I mean, how much sense does that make? Who paying attention to this can't already see it? How many times have we seen on the news that the United States openly, President Obama, Hillary Clinton, have admitted to allowing Al-Qaeda to be part of these, or Al-Qaeda as a means to an end to help the regime change its happen?
All right. And look, ladies and gentlemen, and I just want to kind of go off a little bit and explain something to you, because I think this is so important for everyone to understand. And I was going to incorporate this in something I was writing today. And I've got a stack, and I mean a stack on my desk, of things that I'm going to be posting here as soon as I can finish them up, of articles. But folks, look, the oldest trick in the book, dating back to Roman times, is creating the enemies that you need.
Mm-hmm.
The globalists, the people, the power-hungry people across the globe are creating the enemies that you need. It's the oldest trick in the book.
The enemies that you need. And then our government and media is so blatant, they think the public is so stupid, they turn around and use those enemies to later say they're our friends and they're helping us and they're helping liberate these countries from the genocide, the door-to-door genocide and the killings of thousands of protesters. And it is just completely, it boggles my mind how people don't see it, how Sean Hannity can get on the radio, and I say him because I heard him on the way over here driving talking about it, how all these people can just sit here and say, Assad is planning to use chemical weapons against his population, and if that happens, all bets are off. The president's going to have to go in there, you know, bombing everything. I mean, no holds barred after that.
I wish I could tell you a story about Fox and how that the real story was spiked.
But the question I have goes back to something you said earlier. Directly, say something like this happened, a false flag attack happened. How would it affect the U.S. in the first week to a month?
If you had to
take a guess.
Well, no, I don't have to take a guess. I mean,
how would it affect the economy? How would it affect
You said
it would affect the whole world.
It will affect the whole world because here's It's a very complex situation, but think about this. There is a chemical weapons attack, we'll say, in Syria. Assad gets blamed. The condemnation of the world is now on Assad, whose hands in this case are clean. NATO, of course, America, which is the bulk and muscle of NATO. NATO now has to get involved, obviously, which has been the goal all along. Russia understands that that there cannot be the destabilization of Syria. Turkey is a NATO partner, all right? Now, again, this gets kind of convoluted, and you got to have a scorecard for all the players here. But and you've got Iran as well, who's represented in Turkey, Syria. So when NATO troops, and this will have to be a ground offensive, a ground war, there will have to be troops. At first, of course, you will have the no-fly zone. You'll have the refugee
corps. No-fly zone for any Syrian.
Yeah, right.
But anybody who wants to drop bombs on the country can fly over.
Of course. So now Turkey is a huge player in this, a NATO ally. They're caught in the middle. Patriot missile batteries are, of course, have been dispatched along Turkey, but Russia is putting pressure on Turkey, immense pressure on Turkey. We get dragged into a conflict in Syria. Make no mistake about it. This will turn into a hot war, a regional and a global war very quickly.
Yeah.
And okay.
The U.S. ramps up threats in psychological war on Assad. I just want to read part of this. The American media are reporting extensively that Syrian president is getting ready to use chemical weapons on his own people, raising concerns that Washington could be planning a strike on Damascus with a chemical threat as a pretext. Reports that Syrian President Assad's regime is preparing to use its chemical weapons at home have created a storm in the U.S. media. NBC reports the Syrian military has loaded sarin, a deadly nerve gas, into aerial bombs, which could be dropped from MiG-23s or Sukhoi-24 aircraft. Unmanned aircraft officials stress that so far the bombs have not been loaded into planes and that the last 48 hours there has been no movements at the chemical weapon sites. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton warned if Assad goes down that road, he would be crossing the red line. Obama also warned that the use of chemical weapons is and would be totally unacceptable, and if you make a tragic mistake of using these weapons, there will be consequences and you will be held accountable.
Clinton is the Clinton, Obama, Brzezinski, Kissinger, they are the architects of this, along with Britain and France. They are the architects of this. To make a long story short, and we don't have to do that, but just to get to cut to the heart of the matter right now, and then we can go through this. This will ultimately destroy the United States dollar as we know it. This conflict,
will this be the excuse or the tip? I mean, the economy is destroyed regardless of any more wars or not.
Well, the global economy, yes, but in particular the U.S. dollar, because very simply put, the U.S. dollar, you know, people say it's backed by really nothing, and in theory, I suppose it is, but what it is tied to is the promise of the free flow, unmolested flow of crude oil and of refined the product.
So the oil doesn't go through TSA checkpoints.
Yeah, right, unmolested. Now, the oil in all cases, in all cases throughout the world, you've got various choke points where the oil has to go be transported. For example, the Strait of Hormuz. A tanker goes down there, or the threat of the closure, or the actual closure, or the actual problems with the Strait of Hormuz, you will see the price of crude rise, and therefore the cost of gasoline at the pump rise. You think right now that $3.60 a gallon gas is problematic for our economy? Double that, triple that. That is exactly what's going to happen should things, and as down the road, they will. Now, that will destroy, absolutely destroy the U.S. dollar. But fear not, folks, fear not. And I'll tell you why. Because in the emergency G20 meeting, or in the G20 meeting held back in August, the leaders had created the solution before the problem.
Mm-hmm.
They created the basket of currencies. But wait. There's another issue here. Think back to the North American Union. Think back to George W. Bush, Vicente Fox, Harper. Yes,
FTP.
Right. Guess what? We're being set up to be carved into trade zones.
Why? Yeah.
This is the objective of the New World Order, the One World Government. And people like Michel Malkin and people on the run on the far right side, and even to some extent, well, I'm not going to name names, but you know who they are. They laugh and they say, No, wake up. This is taking place right before our eyes.
I don't know if you saw this out of Bloomberg today. The dollar falls before the Federal Reserve considers adding monetary stimulus. The dollar weakened against most of its major counterparts amid better-than-forecasted factory data from China and bets the U.S. Central Bank will add to monetary stimulus. The currency fell versus the euro and the yen before the Federal Reserve starts a policy meeting tomorrow amid forecasts that will expand bond buying plans. Japan's currency touched the highest in almost 2 weeks versus the euro after Italy's prime minister said he intends to resign. And the peso showed an increase of 13% from a year earlier. You're starting to see a slight divergence appear in the currency markets as the Chinese data remained quite favorable.
You've got some things to say about the Chinese as well later in the program, but go on.
Listen to this. But despite what is happening in Italy, markets are relatively calm. People are looking ahead to the Federal Reserve this week, which should be an event that is positive for risk and negative for the dollar.
Positive for risk and negative for the dollar.
Positive for risk and negative for the dollar.
And that's a good thing.
Apparently.
All right. Well, think about this. And folks, you know, the budget proposal, the peace dividend they talk about, we're going to touch on that after the break. Folks, if you like what you hear, spread the word. We're going to be right back after these messages. You're listening to Doug and Joe Hagman. We are the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi, folks. Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's CanadaFreePress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Ilana Johnson-Powell, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly. Follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
You better wake up fast and listen to this, America. The Obama campaign has launched attack squads disguised as truth teams dedicated to intimidating and silencing all political dissent carried over the internet that criticizes the Marxist Obama. Truth Squad specifically focused on covering up Obama's endless trail of lies, corruption, and subversion, and using the Gestapo power of our own government to police and censor the internet and shut down websites that dare to carry the real truth about Obama's Marxist coup. Remember the names of these Gestapo-style agencies at work right there in your neighborhood: KeepingHisWord.com, KeepingGOPHonest.com, and AttackWatch.com. KGB, SS, and Gestapo-style police state gangster organizations at work to silence the important voices of patriot dissent, some of which have already been shut down by Obama's orders. Adolf Hitler would have been proud. We're the 21st century Tea Party Patriots.
Hold on to your seat. The Hagman and Hagman flight is now taking off. Doug and Joe Hagman have cleared the runway of TSA agents, jihadists, political crackpots, and global elitists. Now get ready for some real news. Here they are, Doug and Joe Hagman.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of this Monday, December 10th, 2012 edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Heard every weekday, 8 to 11 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio. Also, you can see the video streaming at www.homelandsecurityus1.tk. And you can watch us there through Christians United Broadcasting Network. We want to thank Troy for doing an excellent job in putting together an array of hosts, like-minded hosts, Christian hosts, and he does an excellent job. He also has a YouTube channel. And while we are plugging social media sites, guys, check out our Hagman and Hagman Report Facebook page, as we don't plug that enough, but we do have it there for updates and information on the show and important news. I'm going to play a video or an audio for you guys right now while we're closing in on Syria, what we were talking about with Syria. This is what is coming from Syria. Jihadists may use chemical weapons to ethnically cleanse Syria. This is a report from Russia Today. It's 5 minutes. I'm going to play it now.
Let's talk about the possible use of chemical weapons. This is the if. I mean, Assad denies that he'd ever use chemical weapons on his people. So therefore, why does the US and UK insist such a threat exists?
Well, I think this new orchestrated hype of fear surrounding the possible use of chemical weapons perhaps say something about what's coming next in terms of some chemical weapon use in Syria. However, there's another side to the story. Recently, there have been some troubling videos that we have seen on YouTube and some other reports of the jihadist groups in northern Syria possessing some chemical materials with the name of a Turkish company on them. In the background, there was a music playing with the jihadist chants. It's very worrying. They were conducting some experiments on rabbits, and judging by what we saw.
Indeed, I saw that video myself. Yes, talking about it with the two rabbits in the plastic in the Perspex cage. I saw that.
Yeah. It's difficult to verify, but if it is not a bluff, then this is very, very worrying, because judging by the effect of this gas, it is a convulsing. So it's a nerve agent. And this is a dangerous development. Perhaps if you look also at the fact that the United States has recently started listing parts of the Syrian armed opposition, or the armed opposition in Syria, as terrorist organizations, that says something. They're probably aware that part of the armed opposition in Syria, and probably the most powerful part of the armed opposition, who are the Nusra Front, probably are in possession of such materials and probably are planning to use them as they threaten.
Indeed, we're showing that over your shoulder now, that video you were just talking about. We got it off the web. It's a bit graphic to show, actually. Maybe we'll cut away from it just a bit. On the face of it, though...
Sorry, Kevin. It's very important to highlight in that video... it is reflected the dangerous ideology of such a group, clearly and explicitly threatening of ethnic cleansing against certain sects in Syria. So I think the danger is that the West is aware of such materials in Syria, but at the same time, it's going to be used against the Syrian government as a pretext for intervention. This is a scenario that worries me.
So how does that all work in then with the fact that NATO is now planning to deploy those Patriot missiles on the Syrian borders, saying that Turkey may need protection against any potential attack? How likely a scenario is that attack?
Well, it would sound to me preposterous, really, that Turkey, in its current format of its army, needs a protection from Syria. Syria is not going to attack Turkey. This is very simple. Syria has got serious troubles going on. So why would Syria go and attack Turkey? The Patriot missiles are very likely to create a de facto no-fly zone in the northern territory of Syria to consolidate the military presence of the rebels and perhaps install the new government that is Western-backed in the northern part of Syria. It's very, very unlikely that these Patriot missiles are to defend against the Syrian intervention. Why would Syria interfere unnecessarily in Turkey?
Again, I said there's a lot of ifs here. There's a lot of whys as well. Why would the West be interested in intervening in Syria? Is there a broader regional agenda?
Well, I mean, this is a very interesting question, and that takes you back to the start of the Syrian crisis and why the West chose to take such an approach to the Syrian crisis. And in my understanding, I see two sides to this story of how the West sees it. First, Syria's geopolitical alliance with Iran and Hezbollah, and perhaps with Russia. So it's not a Western friendly country in its current format. And probably the West realized that even with negotiations and smooth negotiations with the current ruling system in Syria, things aren't going to change much. And probably they realized that changing by power is the only way forward to them. The other important dimension is the energy. And since 2009, Qatar and Turkey have been talking about a new gas line that is to extend from Qatar to through Syria to Turkey, and then to feed the European Union with gas resources. This is very important because if this is to happen, it will bypass Russia. And it will probably loosen the noose that Russia currently has over the European Union in terms of supplying gas in Western countries.
I see where you're getting at there, Doctor. Yeah, I understand. Well, listen, thank you for giving us your thoughts. It is appreciated. Thanks for being on the line, making the time. Dr. Yazan Abdallah, Syrian political activist with us there.
Pleasure. Thank you.
That was a report from Russia Today. Jihadists may use chemical weapons to ethnically cleanse Syria.
Yeah, and I just want to add something here to what Joe said earlier, the terrorist group Al Nusra. You know, the reports are they may have obtained chemical weapons. So, you know, you've got a situation like this. You've got Assad, you know, perhaps, you know, or allegedly, obviously having chemical weapons. But just think about this. Assad or another terrorist group, for example, Al-Nusra,
yeah,
you know, using chemical weapons.
This Al-Nusra. Also, it says that there's a Syrian-Saudi chemicals company, SYSACCL, factory near Safira.
All right.
And that was taken over earlier this week by militants from this Al-Nusra.
Well, I want to thank my very special thanks to a very special individual who had just kind of nudged me in the right direction. But you know, at the very end, when there is an incident with chemical weapons, when it's all said and done, I'm still trying to process a lot of this mentally myself, but when it's all said and done, you know, we have our hands dirty in this to such an extent that Russia is going to be end up being made like, you know, being the good guy in this, which is kind of
we are the bad guy anymore.
Yes, but and also one more thing too about the oil. When this involves Iran, the regional conflict that involves Iran, the how it will affect the United States, of course, Iran has got this will affect the United States oil, Iran, that type of thing. So, or the U.S. dollar, the individual that I think very highly of, and I want to thank very much, and I'm probably slaughtering the intent as well as the actual wording. But you know, how did Canada, for example, how did Canada's dollar, the loonie, you know, how did that really become reinvigorated? Of course, by oil, as did the Mexican peso. So when we look at this in the larger scheme of things, America fighting for, you know, being in a position of ill defense with respect to the dollar, an attack on the dollar would certainly take us out, as well as, you know, our military already having been really decimated and continuing to be decimated by these people in power here in the United States. And don't forget what Carter did back in the 70s. This is much, and what Clinton did to an extent as well back in the 70s. you know, it's always been, and one of the key, and I did want to mention this as well, and this does fit. And once again, it's important to understand history. It's important to understand that we're not seeing anything necessarily new. You know, a communist goal, for example, is the United States' acceptance of coexistence as the only alternative to atomic war. And another goal, you know, our willingness, the communists are exploiting our willingness to capitulate in preference to engaging in war, particularly atomic war. And another communist, and in the end, a new world order, one governance aspect is to develop the illusion that the total disarmament by the U.S. would be a demonstration of moral strength. All right? So all of these have been intertwined during the last half century, basically. And, you know, during this mental process, you're looking at upwards of, 40-some countries that were swept under the communist, under communist domination. And it's, you know, the shocking and sad part is that it documents the fact that the decisions made in America by the very people in power, by the traitors, or even the dupes in our midst, it's led to far more disastrous consequences than any overt actions by hostile nations during the same time frame. If you think about it, our acquiescence to communist goals have done far more damage than any overt actions. And I want to mention, too, dupes. That was a term that was commonly used by the FBI in the 50s and 60s. It's not referring to stupid or unintelligent people, but normal people from all walks of life who are just deceived into helping communists and their causes without really realizing it. And Stalin, of course, called them useful idiots, just to let you know. And the concept, better read than dead, was, you know, that was unthinkable back in the 50s. Remember that? But back in the 60s, in the late 60s, it became a very widely accepted catchphrase. And the reason I mention all this is because this mirrors what's going on today. And how does this, you know, come into play with Syria? Well, you know, it's all about humanitarian reasons. And when in fact it's not. It's not. It's about nation building. And it has nothing to do with humanitarian reasons whatsoever.
No. Never did in the beginning. Didn't have anything to do with humanitarian reasons in Egypt. It didn't have that to do with Libya, nor Syria, nor any of these other places. There are countries in this world that have very serious humanitarian crises going on. Nigeria, lots of the African countries where they have militant militia, you know, many armies running around slaughtering and killing people from village to village. And this is what they do for their whole life. And where is the outrage and the interventions and then the regime changes and the implementing of democracy there? We don't see it. Why? Because this is a targeted, specific, I mean, these countries aren't being overthrown by chance. This is a plan that was set in motion years ago.
Right.
Syria was meant to be overthrown years before we even knew.
Don't forget the British themselves, after World War II, and without getting into a lot of detail on this, but the nation boundaries were decided upon, and in many cases they don't make sense. The national boundaries don't make sense because why? You're splitting up tribes you're splitting up natural groups and putting country lines down through these groups and splitting them up. Well, kind of like, think about Iraq, where where Iraq is kind of like a three-country country. There's the Kurds, and so, I mean, this is what we're talking about. But I want to mention one thing before we go any further. What we're seeing right now, this is nothing new. Fake terror and the road to war and dictatorship has always been around. It's the oldest trick in the book. It dates back to the Roman times, where we create the enemies that we need. We talked about this earlier. I just wanted to reference this because I think this is so interesting and so critical to what we're seeing right now. Think about this, folks. Back in 70 BC, there was this ambitious minor politician and a very wealthy man. His name is Marcus Crassus. I believe that's how you pronounce his name, C-R-A-S-S-U-S, Crassus. Well, he wanted to rule Rome, okay? Just to let you know what kind of guy he was. Now, he is credited with invention of the fire brigade, okay? Cool, right? Well, in Crassus' version, however, his firefighting slaves, and think about this, and think about how relevant this is today. Crassus, his firefighting slaves would race to the scene of a burning building, whereupon he would offer to buy it on the spot to the owner standing outside for a tiny fraction of its worth. And if the owner sold it to him, Crassus' slaves, the fire brigade, would put out the fire. But if the owner said, no, I'm not going to sell it, he allowed the building to burn to the ground. Now, by this means, he eventually came to be the largest single private landholder in Rome and used some of his wealth to help back Julius Caesar against Cicero. Now, evil genius doesn't even begin to describe that, does it? Okay, that's, in a way, that's what we're seeing right now. And I could go on and take it right down to what we're seeing today, but we've got a lot of things to get into. But you know what? One other thing, too. FDR, he needed the war. He needed the fever of a major war to mask the symptoms of an economy that was just dying because of the Great Depression. And we were mutating towards socialism at the same time during FDR's reign. Roosevelt wanted a war with Germany to stop Hitler, but despite several provocations in the Atlantic, the American people still struggling with that economy of theirs, of ours. Well, we were opposed to any wars. But Roosevelt, he violated neutrality with Lend-Lease and even ordered the sinking of several German ships in the Atlantic. But Hitler refused to be provoked. Now, again, Roosevelt needed an enemy. And if America would not willingly attack that enemy, then one would have to be maneuvered into attacking America, much like Crassus maneuvered Spartacus into attacking Rome, which is a part I didn't get into. But see, folks, we need enemies. We need enemies. Just like
the government needs enemies.
Right, right. Just like Obama, just like Bush, just like Clinton, just like Bush. This is what's taking place. And this is the framework, the architecture of the New World Order.
That's right. A couple of stories we're going to get into tonight. We'll be taking your calls in the third and final hour, dedicating that time specifically to your calls. I wanted to get into this article as I found it. I was rather confused by it until I talked to you and you added a different perspective, but I'm still confused. Judge finds North Carolina choose life license plates are unconstitutional. A federal judge has ruled it is unconstitutional for North Carolina to issue pro-life license plates unless the state offers similar plates supporting abortion rights. U.S. District Court Judge James C. Fox ruled on Friday that North Carolina cannot produce or distribute the Choose Life plate. The Fox concluded, states offering of a Choose Life license plate in the absence of a pro-choice plate constitutes viewpoint discrimination in violation of the First Amendment. He is wrong. Federal judge or not, this guy is wrong. It is freedom of speech. You don't have to have opposing views for everything. You have the freedom to say whatever you want. What if you say something and there is no opposing view? Does that mean you don't have the right to say, advertise, or advertise it? This makes no sense to me. It does through the perspective of trying to oppress or suppress the pro-life movement. Then I understand why the judge would rule this way. But there is no constitutional basis for this rule.
I agree with you. I don't see any basis. The only thing I see is moral and spiritual bankruptcy. Look, what is our, and this, I have, once again, I've got to attribute this keen observation to this very good friend of mine who's done more to help me and educate me in the right way of things, but. But, you know, our ultimate line of defense here in this country is what? Our judiciary. If we cannot find redress in the judiciary, then all hope is lost. And this judge making this insane ruling that you can't have choose life on your license plate, a vanity plate that lets you do anything, yeah. Almost.
Yeah. I was going to say, remember the episode of Seinfeld?
Ass Man.
Yes.
Okay, and excuse my crass nature. Yeah. Oh, that's fine. But choose life is off limits because it certainly stands for a moral viewpoint and a spiritual one at that.
So if you want to have, I love Jesus on your... as a vanity plate,
next
you're going to have an opposing view.
You know,
what about people who have pro-homosexual license plates? Would the federal judge vote that there has to be license plates offering the pro-heterosexual?
Yeah. Well, I suppose you would have to find someone who cares enough to make a stink about it and to file a suit. But, you know, going back to the abortion license plates, you know, to see how fast and how where we're at with this and why this matters so much. In the first week after becoming president, I can barely say that word president now because he's not. He hasn't shown his bona fides. We don't know what he is.
He holds the title
Obama. Signed an executive order lifting the restrictions on the use of American foreign aid dollars sent to other countries for, quote, family planning purposes. There are now no restrictions on these foreign aid recipients from promoting abortions using American tax dollars, our tax dollars, your tax dollars, America alone, among the nations of the world, is the only nation sending its treasure. Our treasure, your treasure, my treasure, both private and public funds and tax dollars to the other nations of the world to facilitate and encourage the killing of the unborn. And, you know, what other nation in the world can be said that the mother of the abomination of abortion? It's us. And
it's too bad I don't have the audio still in the studio queue. Because I did have a six-minute audio clip on Obama comments on abortion and infanticide, the killing of babies after they are born up to 3 months old. And what he says, his record on infanticide and abortion is absolutely horrific, to say the least.
Well, you know, look, after America approved abortion on demand with no effective limit as to when the gestation period abortion was allowed. In other words, you could do it, whatever, it doesn't matter. No restrictions to the reason for the abortion. You know, the floodgates were open across the world. And don't forget what John wrote in Revelation 17, that Babylon was the mother of abominations. in some ways we might look at ourselves as Babylon, or we might be able to consider ourselves as Babylon. But the innovator and pioneer of promoting sin, isn't that what it is in this case? You know, once America birthed the killing of babies, other nations concluded they should follow our lead and do the same. And it's sad because not content with just birthing modern-day abortion on demand, America has taken an active role in pressuring other nations to change their laws to allow abortion on demand. You know, it's amazing how we have exported our immorality to other nations, and they have accepted, embraced it.
Yeah, it is unbelievable. It's not because of us, though. It is through the UN that we allowed to take over. We have handed over some of our sovereignty, our policy decisions. We have a universal code now, not a United States Constitution. We have a universal code.
Well, we've got this Center for folks, search out on the internet the Center for Reproductive Law and Policy. It's headquartered here in the United States. It's called the Center for Reproductive Law and Policy. Search them out. They're involved in inducing other nations to change their laws to allow abortion. Tell me, what is a New York City-based pro-abortion advocacy group doing in Zimbabwe, for example, or I don't know, in any other nation, lobbying them to repeal their laws against abortion? And they're funded in large part, that's the center, they're funded in large part by grants from unspecified sources. States, look, eugenics. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about the cult of blood sacrifice by the Luciferians and Satanics. And if you think that's a hyperbole, sorry. Well, you know what? I'm not sorry. But that's what it is. They need their blood sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And they need, you know, it's interesting because this Center for it sounds so innocuous. The Center for Reproductive Law and Policy.
Yeah, Women's Reproductive Health Services. All these different definitions and phrases they use to make things sound good, like Melinda Gates saying she doesn't want to use the word what was it? It wasn't genocide. It was maybe it was genocide when she was talking about what they were doing through Planned Parenthood. She said they just, I forget, she was on Jon Stewart, The Daily Show. And she said they want to get away from that old term, your eugenics. She didn't want, she didn't like the old term eugenics. She wanted to make a new phrase for it. It's something, you know, end of life services, something just absolutely unreal like that.
Well, I got to say this in closing about this center, and you can find this on their website. It's interesting because they call abortion the fundamental right that all governments are legally obligated to protect, respect, and fulfill. And, of course, they promise to work toward the time when abortion is enshrined in law throughout the world. This is from New York City.
They got Virginia and Newport. Ninth graders here. Planned Parenthood expands promiscuity. The funding enables Planned Parenthood to expand its systematic sexualization and degradation of ninth graders in Newport News public schools. And we told you they were coming
we
to public schools.
This?
Yeah.
Look, we are so far down.
This
and
is
who in the heck
Obamacare.
Stand up. No, and we've got other things on Obamacare as well. Look, Obamacare is nothing more than the control. It's not about health care. It has nothing really to do with health care. It's about uniting control and putting all of everything under the under one roof, and how best to control your money, your lives, and every bit of you, but through centralization, just like they did with the income tax, just like they did with the Federal Reserve. It's all about control. That's what healthcare, this Obamacare, is all about. And you've got people out there smiling and thanking God for Obamacare. Oh God, we're gonna have free healthcare.
Yeah,
affordable healthcare. Well, let me tell you something. It will
be affordable.
Nothing.
When you get none, it won't cost you anything.
And these dimwits out there, absolute dimwits, who are backing this messianic, satanic, Luciferian Nimrod and his cohorts. Look, folks, that's why you've got to be, each and every one of your listeners have got to be your own key people. You've got to be your key people and start talking about this. And we've got to fight against this. We've got to fight against this. And I'll tell you what, our initiative, it's international. I mean, thank God for people like Canada Free Press.
Yeah.
Thank God for everyone who's standing up for our rights, for what's right in this world. And Judy McLeod was kind enough to allow me to sign on to an article today about the United Nations and Canada. And I didn't realize this in talking with Judy McLeod, but Canada kind of was like the impetus behind the United Nations. I mean, they're the ones that created, if you will, a large part. We're really big in the creation of the United Nations. And folks who visit CanadaFreePress.com and read the article about the United Nations, written mostly by Judy McLeod, but I want to thank her for allowing me to have a little bit of input into the article, allowing me to have a lot of input in the article, but her writing is fantastic. But the bottom line is this: we can fight, there are different ways. We can think out of the box, and we can fight against Obama and his agenda and this one world governance and go after the United Nations, and that's kind of a cool way, if you think about it, an end-around way to fight against certain things. But I digress.
Back to Planned Parenthood real quick. As it expands, thanks to Obamacare, this is in southeastern Virginia. It has received a – Planned Parenthood received a government funding that enables it to expand its systematic sexualization and degradation of ninth graders at Newport News Public Schools with risk reduction sex education. The money comes from the $75 million pool set aside as a part of Obamacare to teach the personal responsibility education, known as PrEP. The PrEP money is setting students up for disaster as it enables Planned Parenthood and other organizations to access the most vulnerable youth across the nation. The curriculum being used in Newport News, Virginia, is disturbed by ETR Associates, formerly the Education Department of Planned Parenthood of Santa Cruz. They claim the curriculum teaches that abstinence is the best and safest choice. Hey, imagine, if you can, Planned Parenthood, the nation's foremost promoter of anything goes sex, free contraceptions for all, and abortions, and more abortions, teaching about abstinence.
Put this in perspective, folks. Think about this. In 1958, if you went to school, and you might remember this, or maybe your father might remember this, Joe. In 1958, if you were a young man in school and you got caught with a condom in your pocket or in your wallet or in your satchel, what happened?
Satchel? Again, a fanny pack?
Not a fanny pack.
Just wondering.
What happened? People in the interactive chat, what happened if you were caught? What happened? Come on.
What, did you get detention? Did you get your parents called?
Or in your lunchbox? What happened if you got caught with a condom if you were a young man?
What did you have in your lunchbox?
Carried by grace, you're right. You got expelled.
Expelled? Expelled.
I remember I remember, well, I'm not going to get into it, but just trust me, I remember those days.
Expelled. For
expelled.
Having a condom.
Yes. And when you got home, believe me.
Okay. Then,
believe me.
I bet.
Yeah, they did have condoms back then. They were made with, you know what, I'm slow in my thought process right now, so I can't make a joke about it. But the fact of the matter is, look how far we have gone. And this, again, it goes back to this agenda of complete takeover, of destroying our morals, our moral heritage. And we've gone from that to passing out multicolored condoms and talking about Stevie has two daddies or two mommies.
And
normal.
Not only that, if you're a child and you're confused about your sexual orientation, it is against the law to teach
right.
Heterosexuality to a confused student.
And back
in California.
Then, look, I got to tell you, back then, if in fact you did show a homosexual tendencies, you were counseled. It happened. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but now, no, you're celebrated. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Transgender, you want to become you want to have your kiwis removed, picked? What? I don't know. Sorry about that, but hey, let's celebrate that. Of course. And see, this is all part of the plan. We have to understand that. This is all part of the plan.
I agree. Definitely is, and it's been in the works for a long time, and we are seeing, I was thinking the other day, you remember when we went to the EMP conference in Buffalo?
And folks, EMP is electromagnetic pulse, which is...
We were invited there. It was the heads of police and fire departments and emergency...
DHS was there.
Yeah. There was a lady who was telling us about her son who was in the CIA. You remember that? Remember what you said?
Yeah.
That
go on.
Her son was working in the Middle East on things that we would not see come to fruition for 4 to 5 years, I think, were her exact words. And interestingly enough, that was the beginning of the Arab Spring.
Yes.
And it just reminded me when I was thinking about that. But back to the news. Food stamps soared by most in 16 months. 1 million Americans entered poverty in the last 2 months. And we thought last month's delayed food stamp data was bad. This just reported the food stamps number for September was a doozy, with 607,000 new Americans becoming eligible for food stamps. As a record, 47.7 million Americans are now living in poverty, at least according to the USDA. The monthly increase was the highest since May 2011. Over 1 million Americans made the EBT card their new best friend. It is just unclear which atmospheric phenomenon will get the blame for this unprecedented surge in poverty. This is from Zero Hedge, and I think the sarcasm is the blame of the job numbers and unemployment rate on Hurricane Sandy. Have you heard that? How much they're blaming Hurricane Sandy for the unemployment numbers and have been?
It doesn't surprise. I have not seen anything directly.
Like, it's the main. It's Hurricane Sandy. They bring it up. Oh, Hurricane Sandy. It's people. I mean, it's Bloomberg Radio. No call in to refute nothing. These people know what they're doing. They know how to bring this propaganda, this real, this train of lies, and sell it to the people to a degree that they not only believe it, but even if they disagree, after watching it, you know, you watch the station a few days, a few weeks, you will start to agree with them. You'll find yourself fighting against your own ideals and ideology and beliefs.
How is that possible? You mean just because
it's because of the mind control brainwashing techniques that the TV emits and the way that they do their reporting. we could do a whole show on how the news agencies, how they put their content together in a certain way, putting one very serious story in and then putting a, you know, worthless right. feel-good story in between another serious story. I mean, and the way that they just constantly lie. They have it down to such a science, almost like they know which words will affect people in which ways. And to hear people and everybody out there who has family and friends and neighbors they try to talk to and try to get them to wake up from these things and talk to them about issues, or the masses of people talking to them about issues of the day.
Right.
You see it when you get regurgitated talking points from the mainstream media, generalizations. And I'll use the example from somebody wrote in the chat room yesterday, you know, we do not live in a democracy. And I saw on the White House PDF, it said to keep our democracy. This was last night.
Democracy.
We live in a republic.
That's right.
The person in the chat said, ask them when they say we live in a democracy, what a democracy means next time. And look at the expression on their face. And that's right. They don't know what it means.
Democracy is what, three people in an elevator, two guys, one woman. There's a vote. Let's rape the woman.
Yeah, the most commonly used is two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner.
Well, actually, I prefer the rape part because it's more visceral to me. You know, you've got three people, two guys and a woman, and the two guys vote to rape the woman, and the woman objects. Well, hey, it's mob rule. You lose, too bad. That's democracy. We don't live in a democracy, folks. Of course, and I believe that we've got the most educated listeners out there. So, you know, it's not that we have to.
We do.
You know.
We have someone on hold here. I think we're going to go there.
I thought we were going to wait. Okay, go on.
Yeah, this is somebody that was trying to get in touch. I had some information on something here.
All right.
So I'm just waiting for a response there, and we will take that call. I wanted to get into this, the FDA.
But wait, before you do that, don't go too quick because I just wanted to touch base with you. You mentioned food stamps. Did you not?
Yes, I did. They're at their highest rate in a 1 month increase, highest 1 month increase, and the highest overall.
Okay. Just think about this, folks, because this is so important. 47.1 million people right now, 47.1 million people are collecting some sort of food assistance. And let's put this in perspective. Nearly half of the population in America live in a household where someone in that house receives direct financial assistance from the federal government. Okay, so 47.1 million Americans receiving food assistance. Nearly half live in a household where someone's receiving direct financial assistance from the federal government. And by the way, the poverty rate for children living in the United States is now approaching 22%.
Yeah, we're talking about people who actually receive food stamps. What about the people that they support with those food stamps, the children, and the other members of the household that use those food stamps? So it's more... there's more dependency than just the 47 million. You're looking at close to, I'd say, 100 to 125 million people getting support by food stamps.
This is the Cloward Piven strategy that is talked about.
Yes.
With by Glenn Beck, the Fabian socialists. You know, this is, oh, man, I'll tell you.
The FDA, we got news on the FDA, as they expand irrigation of food supply, harmonizing with Codex Alimentarius.
Now, I just want to caution everyone. If you search Codex,
I can give you a simple rundown.
Alimentarius. I just want to just say this. Do not believe everything you read. Do not believe that this is some sort of urban myth, urban legend. Don't believe that.
No, there's plenty of information that the government puts out on their own, the USDA puts out on their own, the World Health Organization puts out on their own that proves the conspiracy theorists are 100%
this is, and Joe, thank you for bringing this up, because this is about starving you.
Yes.
You're listening to this program? You. They want to starve you. Not only that, you got kids, you got grandkids, they want to starve them. What do you think of that?
This ties in with Henry Kissinger's memorandum. What is it? State Memorandum 200.
Yeah.
Using food as a weapon. But back to this Codex Alimentarius, to the FDA expanding irradiation of food supply, demonstrating the lack of concern held by regulatory agencies for public safety and public opinion, as well as increasing attempts to become complaint with the Codex Alimentarius regulations. I think they mean complacent.
Compliant.
I'm sorry. They're missing some. The FDA has recently explained.
I'm looking at the same thing you
the
are.
Amount.
I've never seen. Look, I'm looking at the same thing you are. That doesn't even. I don't even know how you got compliant or complacent or any variation out of that word, but go on.
Well, just to give you a quick insight.
There's missing a couple of letters there.
I'm reading two sentences ahead while I'm going.
I got to tell you, they're missing some letters in that word, but go on.
The FDA has recently expanded the amount of ionized radiation that can be used to treat unrefrigerated raw meat, okay? So now the FDA has these regulations. So when they do checks at butcher shops and grocery stores, they check to make sure meat is at a certain temperature. They check to make sure that it has the right amount of preservatives in it.
And if it's a really good slice of beef, they taste it to make sure it...
FDA recently expanded the amount of ionized radiation that can be used to treat unrefrigerated raw meat. Meat that should have been in the fridge, that didn't, wasn't put there, probably should be thrown away, but they put this ionized radiation in there.
All right.
As reported by Food Safety News, two new policies decided upon by the FDA were issued in response to two petitions filed in 1999 by the Food and Safety and Inspection Service of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. While previous policy was the only refrigerated or frozen meats that could be irradiated, the new rule allows for the irradiation of unrefrigerated raw meat. The second rule change allows for increasing the dose of ionizing radiation in poultry from 3.0 kgy to 4.5
kgy. I'd like to know from our chat room people what people think of, what you folks think of irradiated meats.
Okay, I got more on that here.
All right.
It goes on to say that although a period for public comment is always set aside for the regulatory agency, their decisions regarding potential changes to the policy, the FDA promptly ignored the many comments it received from individuals all over the country, as well as consumer advocacy groups, which requested the denial of the two FSIS petitions. The response from the FDA was that all these comments made by individuals and by groups such as Public Citizens and the Center for Food Safety were of a general nature and did not contain any substantive information that could be used in a safety evaluation of irradiated poultry. Basically an insult, a slap in the face. Predictably, the FDA defined its decision by circular logic that flies in the face of the science and common sense. The agency is claiming that irradiated, unrefrigerated meat was not found to increase meat toxicity, change the food's nutritional properties, or increase the likelihood of certain bacteria living on the meat. Therefore, the FDA has determined it is safe application for the process. Now,
what does this all mean? When I go to the grocery store...
The FDA admits that the irradiation can affect the characteristics of the food. It is considered additive.
How could irradiation... Yeah, it's irradiation. But how can that, I think, how can that affect... How does it affect the food?
Okay, it says... by allowing for higher doses of irradiation in food, the FDA is knowingly complicit in covering up unsanitary food production practices by major corporations, as well as accepting the inclusion of clearly harmful material, i.e. radiation, into the food supply. Keep in mind, irradiation is mostly used by corporations in order to cover up deplorable manufacturing conditions
okay.
and dangerous food
contamination. Okay, I'm getting it now.
However, much like the FDA's position on genetically modified food, even the concept of consumer choice is nothing more than a smokescreen.
So you could have like a slaughterhouse that kind of like, did you ever watch the show Hoarders on A&E or whatever
yeah.
that is? You know, a place that's so unsanitary that so by nuking it, you kill the bacteria that was picked up in the processing of the food.
So yeah, this is like and there's a book called The End of Health Freedom, Codex Alimentarius. It says that they set the acceptable limit of food irradiation at 10 kgy with loopholes that actually allow for unlimited levels of the irradiation. But what
wow.
this does, Codex Alimentarius, it is to modify foods and to control the vitamins and minerals that are in foods, and they have went and labeled vitamins and minerals as toxins.
So,
and this is the USDA,
yes. okay.
and government.
See, and people are taking this out of context and saying it's an urban legend, it's a myth, and don't believe that. And one of the greatest, in my view, one of the greatest perpetrators of this is Snopes. They are nothing, in my view, nothing more than mouthpieces for Soros and that crowd. There are a couple of yahoos that operate out of a... look, just do your own research. That's so important. Do your own research. But this Codex Alimentarius is, am I right in saying it's a UN initiative?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's actually started.
The World Health Organization and United Nations World Health Organization.
And it's starving. It's a method of starving Americans by robbing us of the nutrients in food.
Yeah, not starvation through lack of food.
Right, but taking the nutrients out of food.
Like we talked
about. So it'd be like eating cardboard instead of
yeah.
like a bowl of rice. You'd be
yeah.
a bowl of cardboard.
Yeah,
with sawdust.
So now, not only do we have to worry about having the money to buy food,
but we got to worry about yeah.
not only do we have to worry about the food we buying being safe to eat because of the dangers of genetically modified food and other health practices. Now we have to be worried, does the food even contain, is it even food, like you said? If it doesn't contain the nutrients in it that are needed to keep the body healthy, well, you might as well be eating, you know.
Sawdust, yeah, why not? Hey, yeah, of course, anyone who's eating rice cakes, have you done that, like trying to lose weight? let me tell you something. Who makes those? And I don't care how much peanut butter you put on them, okay? Really? Wow. All
yeah.
right. That is just my view. But
it's amazing. And to follow on, to follow up with this Codex Alimentarius, we need to talk about this. And we want
can we talk,
to get
can we
that,
talk about this? Can we talk about
on.
This?
You want to talk about it right now?
No. Can we just talk about it, folks?
No. We're coming up against it.
Can we just talk
calls? People who have been patiently waiting are going to take their calls. If you want to talk about it,
but we need to talk.
Mute your microphone and talk to the
folks.
Printer.
We need to talk.
All right. Really, it is an important issue. It ties into Agenda 21. It ties into the New World Order's plan. This is the soft kill, part of the soft kill with the chemtrails, the fluoride, the vaccines. It all ties together. They're robbing you of your of the essential nutrients your body needs to be healthy, survive, and fight off diseases through your immune system. And they're robbing you of that while infecting you with those same viruses and
right.
Contaminants.
It's a way to kill us. Before we go to break, let me just explain something. The last show, I promised this weekend, we'd certainly upgrade the site and put some more things on. I'm still doing it. I was going to do it. Things happened this weekend, and it just got away from me. And then today, I was going to do it. Last night, I sat down about 11 o'clock last night, just to maybe catch a half hour so I can come back and do the upgrade of the website. Well, I got to tell you,
This kind of, you might think this is a little bit humorous in a way. I sat down, I fell asleep, but my dog, King, our dog, King, the 130-pound gnarly.
He's more than that. He's what, 100?
Well, actually, he lost
100?
Weight.
Oh,
lost
did he?
Weight, yeah.
In a brief history, on Christmas Day of 2005. It's been a while now. He's not a baby anymore.
No.
He was found with his belly frozen on the road. It was icy, snowy Christmas
right,
day.
Right.
And my dad took him in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was a tiny little sick puppy who turned into a monster.
And yeah.
He's almost as big as the spiders that are down here.
He didn't turn into a monster. But he's got an attitude. Yeah, he's kind of like an antisocial kind of dog. But anyway, he was whining throughout the night. And we could tell something's wrong. Well, he's got arthritis in his back and his spine. And my other dog, Holly, is very old. She's very, very ill, and I'm praying that, you know, every day that she's gonna make it. But so anyway, to make a long story short, I had to take King to the vet today, and it after him keeping me up half the night, most of the night, me trying to figure out, you know, what was going on. So I called the vet. I said, look, you gotta see him. So took him in. Now just imagine this: taking 130-pound German Shepherd with a very surly attitude, antisocial to begin with. He's kind of got like my, my attitude when it comes to people. So wrestling him into the vet today, and of course they had to take a blood sample. Some other things are going on. They took a blood sample, and then they gave him a very let me just say this, a very thorough examination. They had to put a muzzle on him. He looked like Hannibal Lecter. Is that Lecter? Or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, with the muzzle. And he's still not talking to me, all right? He's still got an attitude with me right now. But I've medicated him. So hopefully he'll lose that edge that he's got of anger. But that said, I just wanted to let you know that hopefully tonight throughout the night at some point we'll get the website really updated with some very important information. I want to thank you for your patience.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the second hour this Monday, December 10th, 2012. We're coming back with your phone call. Stay with us. Call in if you want, 661-244-9839. We'll be right back.
If you're stumped, you don't know what kind of gift to give to a friend or a loved one, I'm telling you, you must go to 4physics.com. That's the numeral 4, PHYSICS.com. This is your one-stop shopping palace. That's the only way I can put it. I could spend easily an hour on this website. Innovative, fun, educational. There are games, books, weather instruments, unique time-telling devices, jewelry, optical devices, laboratory equipment. Let me give you an example. We all know we can tell time with a sundial. You've seen those advertised. Did you know that you could tell time by the stars? At 4physics.com, you can buy a Horologium Nocturnum. This was a navigational device used in the 15th century by navigators at night to tell time by the stars. It's beautifully crafted in the shape of a pendant made of bronze and pewter or gold and silver. Absolutely a stunning gift. I would be proud to give it to anyone. You must go to 4physics.com. Even if you're not stumped, that's 4physics. That's the numeral 4, PHYSICS.com. It's your one-stop shopping palace. Any problems that you have, I don't know what to get Grandpa, I don't know what to get my loved one, that's unique, you will find it at 4physics.com. Please take my word for it. Go to the website, but give yourself a lot of time because you're not going to want to leave 4physics.com.
Folks, I want to tell you about a product that I use. It's called Nootropic. It's from MindRegard.com. That's MindRegard.com. HomelandSecurityUS.com. If you go to HomelandSecurityUS.com, click on the link on the right-hand side of our website to MindRegard.com. It is a product that increases the blood flow to your brain. It increases your mental acuity, your cognitive ability. It just gives you a sharpened edge, especially if you're in business, if you do anything that involves the use of your brain. In my case, walking and chewing gum both at the same time. It does help. It does help do that. Seriously, it does. It makes a difference. I could tell a difference when I take it in terms of my memory, my ability to with cognitive function. It just increases that. Folks, give it a try. That's nootropic at mindregard.com. That's mindregard.com. Tell them Doug and Joe Hagman sent you.
Doug Hagman, one guy that doesn't need a bullhorn to get your attention.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number three of the Hagman & Hagman Report this Monday, December 10th, 2012. We're going to go right to a two-minute clip of Hillary Clinton or Ben Swan on Hillary Clinton's need for taxpayer money for propaganda. Then we're going to the phone, starting with Pierre. Here is Ben Swan.
The U.S. State Department needs more money in order to spread its message through alternative media. At least that's what Secretary of State Hillary Clinton told the House Committee on Foreign Affairs last week. So, is Clinton actually advocating for propaganda? In order to answer that question, let's take a look at what Clinton actually said. Quote, "During the Cold War, we did a great job in getting America's message out. After the Berlin Wall fell, we said, okay, fine, enough of that, we are done. And unfortunately, we are paying a big price for it." She said, "Our private media cannot fill that gap." Secretary of State Clinton went on to say that private media like ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, CNN, MSNBC, they're not doing a good enough job of competing with rivals like Al Jazeera, China's CCTV, or Russia Today, also known as RT. Saying, quote, "We are in an information war, and we are losing that war. Al Jazeera is winning. The Chinese have opened a global multi-language television network. The Russians have opened an English language network. I've seen it in quite a few countries, and it's quite instructive." So with Secretary of State Clinton saying that not only is America losing the propaganda war, but advocating for U.S. tax dollars in order to better fight that propaganda war. Here's the definition of the word propaganda. Information, especially of a biased or misleading nature, used to promote or publicize a particular political cause or point of view. So in short, yes, that's exactly what Clinton is defending, at least in better getting out the American message. Well, let's face it, Clinton's actually talking about the American government's message. Now, Clinton is in the job of spreading the American government's message, so it's understandable what she says. There is a bigger issue here, though. Regardless of whether a journalist works for private media or not, it is not the job of American media, and certainly not the job of a journalist, to put out any government's message, regardless of whether that journalist lives in Russia or China or the Middle East or right here in the United States. No, it is not the job of a journalist to present a government's point of view, rather to seek out information and facts and to present the truth to the people of those countries.
And there you have it, Ben Swan from Reality Check. You can get his channel on YouTube at Ben Swan. Two points real quick. One,
and
is,
by the way, I've heard from Ben Swan, and he uses some of the information from both Canada Free Press and our website, HomelandSecurityUS.com.
We'll address these later, but one, why is there a need, Hillary Clinton see a need for an information, we're in an information war, she says.
Well,
why would there be an information war? unless the information.
You've got to win. You've got to win over the hearts and minds of people, and also the people who cannot think for themselves. You've got to have
bingo.
Yeah.
And point number two is they want more of the American point of view to be getting out there in other countries. Meaning they want, like Russia Today has the English. They want, you know, USA news across so they can spread the propaganda, not just...
No. I mean, look, that sounds good, but, it's all about control over what gets out. Here's the thing. The truth doesn't change. If you... 2 + 2 = 4. Now, you can say that on all of the networks, and it's not going to change, except... when it does. And think about that, because, you know, of course...
We're seeing it now.
Yeah, that's right.
We're going to go to the phone lines. Thank you for your patience. We're going to go to Pierre first. You're live on the Hagman & Hagman Report. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Joe. Hey, Doug. I heard you guys talking about Syria and what was going on with that, and now we're talking about the information war with Hillary Clinton. They have lost the war as far as I'm concerned, because the more people are waking up, the more people are becoming self-aware, self-educated, listening to shows like this. There's no need to listen to what Uncle Sam has to say anymore, because all we're going to get is just nothing more than prefabricated, pre-filtered, you know, propaganda just to control your mind and say, hey, don't worry, everything's going to be all right. Reality check, no, it isn't. You got countries like RT, and I look at RT all the time, and they reveal things more about what's going on inside our own country than our own mainstream media does. That's ridiculous when you have a foreign media entity that is giving you uncensored, unbiased, open source intel on your own home front, and your own people aren't doing that. So that's ridiculous, but that is a serious wake-up call. That might wind up prompting more issues of controlling in terms of, quote, alternative media through the internet, like how we've seen how the UN wants to control the internet. They want to control everything, but, you know, the internet's nothing new. On to the issue of Syria really quick, because I know, Doug, you were talking about that. You were asking some questions on it. That whole situation is just going to go the way of the dinosaur pretty quick, not as fast as we'd like, but it will go. It's like what I typed earlier in the chat room, where everyone saw. Once the chemical weapons, the CW, whether it's sarin, VX, no telling whatever else they might have, because Syria is like one of the number one, or I think number two chemical producer, I think in that region, if not the world, for chemical weapons. And yet, there are members of the United Nations, which I find is quite funny and hypocritical, because the United Nations is supposed to represent peace and cooperation for everyone. Yet you got a country like that that's brewing up all kinds of nasty stuff that can do all kinds of horrible things to people. But anyway, once that's unleashed, guys, it's going to take a life of its own. It doesn't matter what the politicians say. You know, people are going to be saying, we condemn this, we condemn that. That's all it is. It's nothing more than words and condemnation. There is no real just form of action coming from them. And for the basis of what the military and the civilian governments are like, so people can understand, at least here in the United States, it runs just like this. The civilian government runs and dictates everything from national to foreign policy. Unfortunately, the United States military is an instrument of such policies. Hence, if the President of the United States, POTUS, says this is going to happen and we're going to go in and do this, regardless of what the generals or the admirals will say, his word carries the weight. He is the commander-in-chief. We have to abide by what he says. And so we become instruments of that policy, and so everyone thinks that we're the bullies and the bad guys and punks. And the reality is, no, we're not, but we're instituting the policy. The way that's going to change, guys, is very, very, very simple, but at the same time, it's extremely complex, is the whole issue of changing the political atmosphere of this country, the elimination. of the Republican and the Democratic parties, or we create another two or three parties to go and compete against them. Almost every other nation has these three, four, five, maybe six parties minimum, where everyone has a voice that's represented. But
Peter, hold on a second. Right? You're talking about creating other. Hold on a second. You're talking about creating other parties, okay? And I understand that. Why? Well, let me ask you a question here, and I'll pose this to everyone else. We just had elections.
Yes, we did.
Where there's obvious fraud, rampant fraud, not just
from the primaries to the general election.
And we've seen this over the last several, couple of decades. Okay,
yes, we have.
Last several months. Now, we can't get anybody, very few people, to scream and to shout and to demand accountability. What makes you think, Pierre, that we can actually assemble a third party or an alternative party when we can't even get off guffs to complain about the rampant, obvious, and in-your-face fraud? And these people who control the votes are laughing at us.
Well, my answer to you on that, Doug, is it's not going to be a real simple answer, but at least my point of view, I think it is. We have already talked intellectually about this. Everyone knows we have. Millions upon millions of Americans have. People have heard this show, I'm sure, around the world, and have, why don't Americans do this? Why don't Americans do that? Because they're too lazy. You're just too lazy doing that. Laziness is an issue. What needs to be done here is people need to now get out of the concept of intellectual revolution, and they need to now move it up to peaceful. Now, if the peaceful revolution can't work where you had hundreds of thousands of people protesting like the Vietnam War to Washington, which eventually caused all of us to pull out in 1975, then you don't have no choice but to go to the next level. Because here's the deal, whether anyone wants to acknowledge this or not, the more we sit on our tails, gang, the more they run over us. The more we post up signs and say, we need change, we want this, we want that, well, the more they're going to continue to put the clamp down on you. The question you must ask yourself more than anything else is, how far are you guys willing to go with this? Are you really ready to take it to the next level? Because these people have nothing to lose and everything to gain to keep these two parties running. They have no problems with committing voter fraud, as we've seen. They have no problems with having certain things be manufactured, for lack of a better term. And these things that are manufactured, in turn, either causes our attentions to be A, deflected, causes us to be diverted to a whole nother psyop that has no consequence to anything at all, or it puts you in fear. Now, I don't know about anyone else here, but I'm not going to live in fear. I don't think any of you want to live in fear. God doesn't want us living in fear. But he gave us discernment, he gave us wisdom to pray about this and to talk about it. And I think the one thing, honestly, and I'm sorry if I'm sounding like I'm being the enemy here, and I don't think I am, is that no one is really willing to cross that third line because they are afraid. Because that's the only way it's going to happen. That's how the founding fathers got things rolling. They weren't going to stand and deal with lame taxation from the crown and hear what the House of Commons have to say and House of Lords have to say about the new colonies and stuff. They decided to say enough is enough. We're going to do this. We need to examine the consequences. Well, what are the consequences? They're going to sail over the ocean and come here and try to kick our butts. And that's exactly what happened. And you saw the end result of it. Blood got spilled. Nothing is ever easy. I want to make that completely clear to everyone here. Nothing is easy when it comes to this political solution.
Blood will be spilled.
It will. I guarantee you it's going to be spilled. It's just a question not of if. People need to start now getting in their heads. It's no longer an if. This isn't imagination. This isn't fantasy. This isn't one man's deranged thinking talking over the airwaves here. It's a question of when. Okay? And the sooner you all get into this, the better you're going to be able to handle it. Because right now, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, alternative media technically is a revolutionary thing. We're talking about things that are counter to what the status quo is, what the government's given us. And they are getting sick of tired.
We are the media.
Exactly. It's listed in the Department of Homeland Security lexicon as being a domestic extremist.
But we are the media right now. The other stuff is propaganda. We are the media.
Exactly.
When I say we, I'm talking about the internet media, the alternative media.
True. But, you know, Joe had a good point about how he was just trying to pinpoint about the DHS, how they have it in their lexicons and their terminologies of what makes up a terrorist. How did you guys think I felt when I discovered that Janet Napolitano, when she first introduced the whole thing about what constitutes a terrorist, was a veteran, and as a Marine Corps vet, how that made me feel? Okay?
Of course.
I don't have an honorable discharge. I don't have a bad conduct discharge. I never said or wanted to do anything wrong or against this country. But when I started seeing the developments of things and how things went over the years, and then the culmination of what is now known as the National Defense Authorization Act, the Enemy Belligerent Act, I mean, where they can come and they can arrest and detain you and say, you can't do this. I'm an American. No, you're not. You've just been stripped of your citizenship. I mean, people, the concepts are here. The concepts are being accepted. They are feeding it to their machine. It doesn't get any more clear in terms of red flags being waved as to what is coming. It's like what Steve Quayle said, which really what the Lord said. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Gang. The Hagmans can only give you so much, but the reality of it is that the information that they're giving you is because they're getting it from the enemy, because the enemy is telling us their plans. It was just you got you two here interpreting it as best as you can. You got like Alex Jones and a bunch of other people, Gerald Salente, Max Kaiser. The list goes on. Greg Evenson, it just goes on and on. But it doesn't get any more in your face when you're capable of decoding what the enemy is saying and doing and what the enemy's intentions are. This is about as basic military as it's going to get. Because when this thing does kick off here in the continental United States, whether it's a false flag or some kind of, you know, revelation-like, supernatural weather event, what have you, all bets are off, folks. I don't know how many of you see the videos of when the military was talking about when they were filming the patrols in Louisiana, how they handled it with Katrina, going in and kicking indoors on the dry land areas where people who are, you know, these are law-abiding people. How they took down an elderly lady. Do you have? She shows the gun, and they nearly crushed her to dust.
Right.
Now, imagine if
right.
the camera wasn't on. Bang, bang. End of story. So, you guys can only be given so much. It's like this is the biggest Paul Revere moment of our lives as a country.
Wait a second. Pierre, how many yeah. Paul Revere moments do we need? How many do we need? We've got sexual assaults taking place 24/7 at airports, yet people say, hey, not a problem. I'm still going to go on my vacation to the Caymans. I don't care. Let them touch my junk.
I have to work.
I have to work, okay? You know what? Oh, that's all right. I guess the dollar or that percentage or whatever it is for Obamacare or affordable health care funding abortions. Well, you know what? It's only a buck or whatever. You know. So what's it going to take for people to draw the line in the sand and
it's
say,
take,
you know what, this is enough.
It's going to take one person. All it takes is the will. I hate to, it's like quoting a video game here. All it's going to take is the will of one person that's going to say no. And it's going to be at the right place at the right time where the enemy does not want that to happen, that it will be seen by all and heard by all. Kind of like that. What's that saying? The shot heard around the world? When that happens, when someone steps up and says enough, and it's more likely it's going to be through force, that's when you're going to know, Doug, enough is enough. That's when you're going to know that the freaking crock pot pressure cooker of social humanity here in America has just went boom like Yellowstone. That's when it's going to go down, because you can only talk about this for so long. People can only simply sit down in a congregation in a church and nod their head, hearing their pastor, amen, praise the Lord, and go out and do nothing. You can only go
This administration, look, I understand that this administration is counting on and trying to, and as I said this through my DHS insider contact, they want to foment chaos. They want the racial component to be exacerbated. They want the social component to be exacerbated. They want, they're itching for a war, and they will get a war. That's not a problem.
I don't think they're going to get it on their terms, Doug. I don't think they're going to get it on their terms. That's the thing that keeps getting me, because I've heard this consistently, and I've read about this in different blogs. You've heard it too. You know, they've been wanting this. They've been wanting this. They've been wanting this. They've been wanting this. How many times have we heard that old saying, be careful what you wish for, you just might get? And then ask yourself this. Do they actually really think that the plan that they want to have implemented is going to really work the way they want it to? You can only control so much. You know, controlled chaos is one thing. I'm going to prod this hornet's nest. I know the end result of this. But what if it doesn't take 5 prods that make that nest go nuts? It only takes 1, and then you're overwhelmed. You see where I'm going with that? It can happen that fast in a way that they can't control. Because like I'm saying, once this thing takes a life on its own, whether it's Syria or here on the home front, brother, it's going down, and it can't stop it. The people who are going to be fleeing will be ratted out. Maybe a lot of them will get away, but those that try to get away won't. I guarantee you those that are in control, those who have this money, who have this agenda, who wants to do this stuff, will not be able to get away. They will be sought out. They will be found. They will be brought to a form of homeland justice. And they will sing like canaries, but it's not going to save their souls. It's not going to save their lives. They will get caught. But unfortunately, it got brought to this point. And there is no real justification for any of this. There's no justification for wanting to have something of this scale to happen. But it's coming. But I really... my heart and my heart of hearts, and I prayed on this, I really have. I really don't think this is going to go the way they wanted to. It's going to blow up in their faces, and how this thing's going to roll out is going to be anyone's guess. Yeah, they're going to get people in FEMA camps. That's inevitable. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of deaths. There's going to be all kinds of bad stuff that we read in dystopic future novels happening in modern times. But I do not think that they're going to get the upper hand like they want. Because you see, there's always that one variable, or maybe that 1% or 2% variable that says, you know, you're not going to get it the way you want it, but you're going to get it. And, you know, that's what I think.
Well,
I mean, that's my personal thought, guys.
All right. Well, look, we appreciate you giving us that information, that viewpoint, and it's something to think about, and... very good, sir. God bless you, my friend. And
same to you, brother. I look to talk to you. Look forward to talk to you again.
All right, man. Take care.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you know, thanks. You know, Joe, I'm reminded of that picture. And folks, think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Think about this. Think back. Think back. Close your eyes. Think back. Unless you're driving, don't do that. But think back to that picture of that one man standing in front of a column of tanks in Tiananmen Square. One man standing in front of a column of tanks in Tiananmen Square. Where in the hell were the other people to support him? If one man can stop a column of tanks, what could 100, 1,000, 10,000 have done?
Yeah,
just my 2 cents.
Yeah, we won't know, apparently, because, well, I shouldn't say we won't know. We don't know now, because things have not gotten bad enough to get people out into the streets to actually take the initiative to try to change things themselves. Their line in the sand has not been crossed, but it will. Obviously, the government is moving at rapid pace to bring about the end of our lives, our freedoms, everything. The end of us. The end of any. The end of a world full of useless eaters, and replacing it with their private little utopia. But what will be the line that makes you stand in front of the tank? Is it going to be when you hear they're in your country, or when you hear they're in your state, or when they're on your neighborhood, or when they're at your door?
Ladies and gentlemen, I firmly believe that they're not, you know, as Steve Quayle says, they're not coming for your guns, they're coming for you. And I think that one way to do it is to starve you, is to starve us.
Sorry about that. I just opened up an article here at Jeffrey Immelt. This just popped up. Communist China works, says Jeffrey Immelt.
Sure, it works. And that's why during the 20th century we had 135 million people who were killed by communists. Exactly. Look, the ultimate objective here is population reduction, and they're going to get it however they want. They feel that the globalists, and see, look, I understand there are many, 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 many websites out there that constantly say, well, the Muslims are the problem, and we have to fight the Muslims. But look, you've got to take the blinders off. I understand. Everyone understands the problem with Islamic terrorists and Islam, right, and such. Okay, it's a one-note song with these people. Look, you've got to look at the larger picture.
Yeah, when you have the Islamic rise and the fears of Sharia law being implemented in the U.S.
They're legitimate, by the way.
Are legitimate, but would never happen with a real informed public or a true government for the people, because they would not let that happen. You're not going to change we're not going to change our laws. Basically, it would be a legal way of what happened in Egypt.
Well, think about this.
Voting out of the Constitution and voting in Sharia law.
No, what you said is very, very close to something I wanted to say. The Muslims are not changing our laws. Understand this, through Sharia. The Muslims are not implementing Sharia. Understand that. The Muslims are not implementing Sharia in the United States. It's the judiciary that's initiating Sharia. It's the people who are in the positions within the judicial system, the sellouts, the people who are the sellouts to the larger agenda who are behind this. Folks, you've got to understand that we are a captured operation, and that we are headed headfirst into this one world governance. And people like Gates and Kissinger and Brzezinski, and all the way back to the Rockefellers and Rothschilds and the Nixons and the other presidents who are members of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commissions, who are attempting to bring in this Luciferian, satanic, this oversight of the entire population, including the 310 million people here that live in the United States, or 310 billion people in the United States.
Million, trillion,
quadrillion, what's the difference there, you know? Look, just a whole bunch of people. Anyway. We have to address the big problem, and Syria's part of it. Benghazi gave us a window. That's why it's so important. You've got right now on the economic front, everyone's talking about fiscal cliff. Oh, that's ear candy. It's more than that. It's the fiscal cliff. That's all about taking your mind off the real issue, and the real issue is the fact that is so much bigger than the fiscal cliff. That's just bread and circus. That's all that is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. sometimes I just
it's
stop to stop and think.
Yeah, no, I agree. I want to thank who was this, Jan, for posting this in the chat room. I talked about this with my father before the show. Vatican calls for a world government in a new world order. This is from Activist Pope.
Yes.
The leader of the Catholic Church, Pope Benedict, has called for the establishment of a world government and a new world order. In a speech made to the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace on Monday, December 3rd, the Pope called for the construction of a world community with a corresponding authority to serve the common good of the human family.
Please, 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 everyone, pay very close attention to this. Think about it, too, in the context. Remember our show on Friday. Think about it in the context of Britain, of the bloodlines. And you know, look, it doesn't matter what you believe or what I believe. It's what they believe.
Yeah, and he's called for a new economic world order in the past.
Right.
But this time, it goes on and says, as a means of defending global peace and justice, the Pope's vision for the establishment of world government and a new world order is supposedly not to create a new superpower, but a new governing body that offers those politicians who are responsible for making decisions criteria for judgment and practical guidelines. The Pope was quoted as saying, the proposed body, world government, would not be a superpower concentrated in the hands of a few, which would dominate all peoples, exploiting their weaknesses. The Pope also described his vision as a moral force or moral authority that has the power to influence in accordance with reason. This is a participatory authority limited by law in its jurisdiction. My question to the Pope is, why not call to God for a God to the government of the Lord? Why not turn to him? You are the Pope. You do not ask for a government of man to be instituted. You should ask for the government of God to be instituted, meaning God, we follow the Lord. We do our best to follow his commandments, you know, do what we're supposed to do as followers of Jesus and live under that. If you want a one new world order, let's make it a new world order under Jesus Christ. Let's not just rearrange what the current system we have. What he's talking about here is not coming out and saying, we want a new world order for global control. But it's the same thing with different excuses, just like the environmentalism movement. Well, we want to consolidate all the power and to make sure, you know, humans don't overconsume and everybody's happy and kumbaya. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that there will be a one-world government. That one-world government will be established by the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back down and influences government on earth. And the people who are instrumental and working towards this new world order won't be a part of that. Some of us probably won't be a part of that, sadly.
You know, this is part two. Okay, this is as well part of the Catholic Church has, of course, a control over private schools, Catholic schools, and you know, getting control over the schools, using them as transmission belts for socialism, current communist propaganda. This, in fact, does involve that as well, where the Vatican, through the Catholic teachings, although they may stand firm, for example, on being pro-life or anti-abortion, they will get mired in this social justice, and that social justice is a euphemism, of course, for a this new globalist agenda. And see, you know, it's a very complex system. The Vatican is calling for social justice, which means mm-hmm. they're calling for a one world order. And now it's not even covert or subtle anymore. And churches have been infiltrated. The once great religion, one of the goals was to infiltrate the churches and replace the proper religion with social religion, to discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which doesn't need a religious crutch. That is, what's taking place. It's just an amazing series of events taking place. That was a red hotline President Obama's calling here.
I'm sure you got something more important. You take the call.
Geez, let me look here. No. This is what... I forgot to unplug the phone after the last call. Isn't it interesting? There's this movement away from established biblical teachings to the social gospel, okay? For centuries, even before the pilgrims came to America, Christianity was taught as the unique religion. True Christianity was based on a person being saved by Jesus Christ, by Jesus dying on the cross, whereas all other religions usually required the person to do something. Do one's best. You can work your way to heaven. Look, I understand that. I understand. But see, the Marxist social gospel crowd didn't even include those worthwhile concepts. You know what I'm going with this?
Right. Because the following of Jesus Christ does call us to do things.
Right. But see, as the Marxist agenda, the social justice agenda has infiltrating it. And it's diluting the actual religious or spiritual aspect of things. Yeah. Anti-Christian propaganda right now is so prevalent in our schools, in the media, the entertainment industry.
You can't even have Christian propaganda because it's banned in schools. Any mention of God or Jesus or even an inspirational Bible quote can't even be displayed.
Well, think about this.
You can't even walk into a voting place with a T-shirt on that says, "Vote for the Bible."
Right. And it's all against Christianity. There's a war against Christianity.
Not according to, the Obama administration, MSNBC, and all the other mainstream talking heads out there. I mean,
well, of course not. Of course.
They say the real war is in the information. It's the people trying to take advantage of, because they're racist and they don't like Obamacare. They're saying there's a war, just like the war on women. They say there's no real war on women, no war on the Catholic Church, even though they're mandating that they do things against their belief system by issuing birth control, which is against their religion, which is a violation of the First Amendment. But no war.
Well, think about it.
There's no war because there's no fighting back.
It's a slaughter. And most recently, and folks, think about this, anti-Christian propaganda that's so prevalent in our schools and such in the media and entertainment industries, it's really taken its toll in the Bible-believing churches. And think about this, from the 1950s through 1990, that's really 40 years, the liberal churches' attendance and donations declined sharply. Those are the churches that were out there. While during the same period, the Bible-believing churches were growing rapidly. But since 1990, the trends are all down across the board. So the deceivers are actually winning on all fronts, and the Christians are losing. And if that's news to you, boy, you've got to do some research, because no topic that we talk about is more important. Eternity is quite a long time.
No, the freedom of religion in this country is something that is been around since the inception of this nation. It is a right that shall not be infringed, and when it does and is infringed, as we see it is being infringed now, we are all going to have to make a decision or come to a point where we're going to have to make a decision and choose whether we're going to continue our journey with the Lord or That's we're right. going to give it up to please your family, maybe the government, maybe your wife, whatever secular forces are saying, you know, you're done with this. And if you continue, we'll just kill you. Or you can walk away and live happily ever after. That choice could be approaching us in our lifetime.
Well, and as we talked about before, we're seeing the discreditation of the families and institutions. There's this encouragement of promiscuity and easy divorce and such. Look, the moral fabric of our country has been ripped and has been torn. It's up to us as leaders within our own spheres of influence to recapture that and to reclaim that and to do so with the authority of Jesus Christ. And if we don't do it, then we will have to answer for that. And, of course, the ultimate, in the end, it's what's it about in the end? And I just can't wait to talk with Steve Quinn and Russ Dizdar on Thursday, folks. If you haven't, if you joined us later, haven't heard, Wednesday we're gonna have Lindsay Williams on in the first hour, and Steve Quinn and Russ Dizdar on Thursday, and that's 90% verified with regard to Steve and Russ. We just have to verify that, waiting on verification of that. But that's going to be just a tremendous program. And he's going to be talking about the battle, the black battle that's being fought. And it's a black one. It's black indeed. And Joe, go back to Syria. Look, folks, we told you and really, I just wish everyone understands this. The fuse for World War III is lit. And it's interesting now because it's we gathered up the players. We got the players. We got the groups. We got the gangs. We got the mobs. We got the Chicago, New York, L.A. mobs into Syria. It's kind of like a hitman in a way. You know, do you ever watch those movies where a guy hires another person to kill someone? And that's guy, you know, they take the money, and the guy, the hitman, says, "Well, okay, you can't change your mind now. It's, mm-hmm. You know, it's over, right?"
Mm-hmm.
Same with Syria. The United States, has our gangs in there, the various components, various Islamic gangs. And regardless of a change of heart, regardless of attempting to wanting to walk it back, it's over. Ain't no walking it back now. You can't get your money back, and the hit's out there. The hit's out. So this is what we're facing in Syria. And the question is now, when Russia, if we double down, if Obama decides to double down, and these Nimrods in Congress, whether it be McCain or these other Republican, supposedly conservative Tea Party Republicans, what do you thinking? You're taking us to the brink of World War III because we are going to be fighting Iranians and Russians. So war with Russia, and it's going to expand way beyond the borders. And if it goes into Iran, our dollar is targeted, and we're going to hit hard. It's going to destroy our.
We're already there. We just haven't fallen or collapsed yet.
So prepare.
The United States here, U.S. to launch military space drone on Tuesday. The United States is planning a new launch of its tiny pilotless military space plane on Tuesday as part of a futuristic Air Force program that has fueled speculation over its mission. Apparently, it's not enough to have TSA at every checkpoint, sporting event, bus station, train station, 30,000 drones in the sky spying on farmers.
30,000. You know what they call 30,000 drones in the sky over the, our the United States of America? You know what they call that? Target practice.
I knew you were going to say that.
Target practice.
Moving target practice. The X-37B, which weighs 5 tons and is 29 feet long, can return material to the Earth in a new way that retired shuttle orbiter program, but is designed to stay out of orbit for much longer than 270 days. The last X-37B returned in June after orbiting for 469 days in a test of endurance. This will be the third launch of this space drone. So that is something to keep your eye in space for. I wanted to play this audio here because it seems like we always upload audios and never get to them. This is Ron Paul.
Oh, this is good.
Ron Paul, hard to divvy up loot when there is none left. This is an interview he did. We're going to go to this now.
This is insight into the current state of our economy.
Here we go.
I'm ready for the next 4 years because I've got my crystal ball and I can see what's going to happen. First, over the next few months, pundits will scream about the fiscal cliff. That's a series of tax increases and budget cuts that will automatically go into effect January 1st unless Congress works out a deal. Will they? Yes, I can see it in here. Politicians will meet and then they'll hold press conferences and fret and predict disaster, and then they'll reach a deal right before the end. It won't solve much, it'll just postpone the reckoning, but they'll congratulate themselves and the media will move on to something else. America, however, will continue to go broke. Am I too cynical? No, it's probably worse than that, says my next guest, Congressman Ron Paul. Congressman, predict the future.
Long term, the future looks pretty good. A lot of people are waking up and know that what we have today isn't workable. But on the short run, the people in charge aren't going to admit it. They're not going to admit that we're bankrupt, and that they won't admit that we're on the verge of a major, major change in our society. So they'll keep putting it aside, but then we'll eventually probably destroy the dollar or have a dollar crisis where we'll be forced to revamp and change our system of financing. But it could be pretty big. I mean, I think it could won't be anything quite as bad as like when the Soviet system collapsed, but a lot of change would have to come. Because I think the true bankruptcy would mean that we no longer can maintain an empire around the world, and we no longer can maintain promises of entitlements of $222 trillion. So we have to face up to reality. But I think I agree with you. Don't expect all the solutions to come on January 1st. They're going to have some doctored up proposal and people will announce it and the stock market may go up. But ultimately, we will have to face up to, you know, the excessive spending and the excessive size of government, but not for a little while yet.
Though that sequestration law on January 1st was designed to acknowledge the politicians' unwillingness to make tough cuts, here's how Jim Engel of Fox reported it.
The fiscal cliff was crafted to be so distasteful, officials would do any and everything to avoid it.
So you don't think they'll say, gee, we don't want to cut this money from the military, domestic spending, we're finally going to cut entitlements, make some real decisions?
They assume that they made it so bad that they wouldn't accept it, but I don't think they did anything. They're not even talking about cuts. They're talking about cutting, you know, $1 trillion over 10 years, $100 billion, and they're not talking about real cuts. They're talking about cuts in baseline budgeting.
Let me stop you. Explain baseline budgeting. And I hate it when you politicians talk that way, because no person who's normal understands that. What you mean is that if I'm going to cut, it means I spend less next year. When you guys do it, it means...
It means that we have already written into the next 10-year budget automatic increases. So if you're proposing, let's say, $10 billion increase for next year and you cut it down to 9, they say, they're cutting 10%. But they're not cutting anything. They're only increasing it $9 billion instead of $10 billion. So it's done on purpose so that people get confused and that cuts don't mean anything. Cuts mean only nibbling away at the proposed increases. And that's the reason nothing ever happens. And they've got away with this for a long time because both sides, whether liberals or conservatives, they had different reasons they wanted to spend money. and there was a lot of wealth in the country, and they usually could get along with it. Okay, we'll raise milk subsidies and tobacco subsidies, and we'll vote for you one versus the other. But now the treasury's bare, the country's bankrupt, they won't admit it, and that's why there's so much anger and frustration, because it's hard to divvy up loot when there's none left to divvy up.
Thank you, Congressman Paul. The focus on the media this.
You know, that's a good explanation. And I think it kind of goes to what we said earlier about the fiscal cliff being ear candy to the American public, when it's really not going to change anything. It's a Band-Aid on a breached artery.
Yeah. Before we go, one thing I completely forgot to cover, one of the top stories for tonight. Chinese group buys 80% of AIG plane unit for $4.2 billion. They're buying 80.1% of the AIG, which is the nation's largest acquisition of U.S. company. It is what they want to start doing is buying mortgages or what are they doing?
Are you asking or are you informed?
I'm looking for the information I had. They... this is the largest acquisition of a country to the United States of a company. They are thinking about it. At least that's what they said earlier, that they were discussing if it was in the interest of national security, if it could work. But China taking over United States mortgage companies, biggest companies in the United States. What does that mean for us? Is what we need to find out. And here's what they say. The acquisition gives the group control of the world's second largest aircraft lessor, as raising travel in China and Asia spurs demands for planes. AIG, which counts the U.S. government as its largest investor, is selling the Los Angeles-based unit. As CEO Robert Boskamer focuses on insurance operations and works to reduce debt, AIG will record a $4.4 billion non-operating loss, which includes $1.8 billion in cash. Share decline. Apparently the stock has hit a decline. But what they are doing here, China's investment core is what it's called, is buying these, buying the company. With the company comes... it has something to do with mortgages. I can't find the article I had earlier. I'm looking at a different one now. But it has something to do with the loans, outstanding loans. AIG holds, they're in the derivatives market. They're in the housing market. They're in all these different markets. And I'm trying to, I had a good report on exactly the effect would have.
Let me just throw them in.
There are major red flags as the United States is showing a pattern that is continuing to sell its land, its resources, and its companies to other countries.
But we're approaching where we're at today is based on, and people really need to understand this, where we're at today is based on the communist infiltration into this country. And on October 25th, 1971, Communist China, did you hear me? Communist China was granted full membership into the UN, United Nations, okay? They were given a seat on the Security Council with veto power and to rub it in at the same time as well, and without any legal basis, our friend and former wartime ally, Nationalist China, now referred to as Taiwan, okay, was removed from the UN altogether. And that was done so they wouldn't offend the communists. Now, it should be noted as well that no other country has ever been thrown out of the United Nations except for Taiwan. And on January 1st, 1979, the United States formally gave diplomatic recognition to Red China as the official government of China. So, look, You realize, folks, the historical significance of those two events, and look where we're at today. No wonder where we're at. No wonder we've got this communist infiltration here with American companies. You've got to understand what has happened to our country.
Yeah, Chinese investment, they are buying mortgages. Also, this article I saw, U.S. Fed buy $20 billion in mortgage bonds out of their newest QE3 pumping. Ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the end of the program. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us tonight.
You know what? I'll tell you what, folks. Again, as leaders ourselves, please go out, tell people about this program. Please preach the word. Tell, enlighten people, inform people.
Lindsay Williams Wednesday.
Right.
Russ Dizdar and Steve Quayle. 90% sure for Thursday.
And Thursday would be from 9 to midnight, different time. Okay, so with that, God bless everyone.
We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great night.
Good night.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.